That's where she's at right now. Thank you, everybody. I'd like to call the joint meeting of the Public Works and Ways and Means to review the capital plan in more detail and get a better understanding of the information provided to us.
The Committee of Ways and Means. Archer?
Here.
Ronk? Bartels?
Here.
Gavars?
Present.
Haynes?
Here.
Mayo? And Walter?
Here.
The Committee of Public Works. Fabiano?
Here.
Green?
She's here.
Cahill?
Here.
Hepner?
Here.
And Liz?
Here.
Excellent.
And
thank
Donaldson.
You. Donaldson, he, is, I don't know, is he coming back?
But is the executive?
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't know, do you guys produce this book?
We work on it.
You
work
on it.
The county executive.
Pat does?
Well, the executive's office does.
Thank you, Tom.
Okay.
Everybody know Tom Jackson? Don Quisnell? Why don't you guys sit at the table?
Okay.
This is a working meeting. What we see, there's a lot of information in the capital plan, and you know, as Public Works, Ways and Means, it could be a very useful tool to us. But what we have found over the years is a lack of consistency from year to year in project names. We've asked for in the index to include plan numbers. If there was a capital plan number assigned to a given project, that it be included in the index, so that as we're going through in any of our meetings looking at resolutions, we can look to this and it'll foot and it'll be easier to find. Right now, it's very confusing.
Right.
I think we've got about 14 new capital projects. There are a number of projects that have fallen off, and we thought the best way to do this is let's go through the book. Let's understand what it is and how it's used and see where we can make improvements and ask for updates so that, I mean, I find myself putting resolution numbers in my books, but sometimes I cannot flip back. And every year when you change the title, even slightly, it makes it very difficult to determine, is it a new project or an old? And then you've got to go into the section where you lay it out in the dollars and cents side of it. It's just, there's a way I think we can make it useful for everyone, and so we're asking for A, understanding your projects, and B, where we can make improvements on the plan. Did anybody else have anything else they wanted to add? Okay, so if we can just dive into it, that would be, and go through it. Do you have your book?
Is this one good enough for me?
I think so. Yeah. I have one more copy if you want to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is this the same one as I'm looking at here, maybe?
Online, yes.
Oh, you did send it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, you send us
our email. I have one more hard copy, though.
It's our intro.
Thank you.
But you know what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, I know, I think in the past, Bert was a big part of this. I don't know, did it come out of the budget department as well?
Budget worked with Don putting this together.
Thank you. Ultimately, the product was, I would say, crafted by the budget department, but our department reviewed the capital projects.
Okay. Yeah, because there's some, well, most of these are yours. A lot of them, right? All of them.
A fair number, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few UCAP, probably one finance.
The ones that are infrastructure related, the county infrastructure,
would
be typically DPW.
So, and I think what will be helpful is as we go through this, we'll kind of give back what we've agreed to today at the table to try and improve the book so that it's useful for everyone. And Mark, you missed it. You know, some of the things you'll see when you get it, but just indexing. In the index, putting capital plan numbers. Also, you lump a lot of things together, so it's very difficult. And when the names change, I think there's some tie back to another broader project, but unless we go through it, it's very hard. So why don't we go through, let's just start at the beginning, if that's okay with you. Or would we rather just focus on the new ones first? I mean, then we'll be jumping around. But I think if we go through line by line, let's start with the first one, which is Central Auto Vehicles?
This is an ongoing, you know, we have to replace vehicles in the fleet every year. So the fleet manager identifies what vehicles need to be replaced, and it rolls over from year to year.
And so you have an overall number, but then every year, depending on what's coming due, you'll have different vehicles and different resolutions?
Correct.
Right, and we always provide a backup of what we're buying to you when the resolution
Okay, comes. That one was pretty clear.
And there is an alignment with green fleet policy, so that we're buying appropriate vehicles, replacing aging vehicles with HV and EV.
Okay, Trace?
So there, over the years, on this one in particular, there's been some discussion, and as relates to the sheriff's office too, about whether or not we should be bonded for, that's why they're in the capital plan,
right.
Because of the life of the vehicles, which is replaced in 10 to 15 years.
Which
are
we
typically bonding for them, or is it, I mean, what?
Yeah, and we're going with shorter, I mean, we're not doing a 20-year bond.
Yeah.
He's bonding them for the life, the useful life of the vehicle. So.
Yeah.
Jonathan, then Eve.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally satisfied.
Oh, just you know, you mentioned green fleet, and you know, as we're looking at this, it's something we've talked about before. I think we talked about it more when I was on energy environment, updating the green fleet policy going forward. Because obviously, you know, thanks to good work, we've exceeded far, you know, far ahead of the original policy. So I think that's something we should be cognizant of when we're talking about things like this, you know, and looking towards, you know, maybe possibly updating the current policy.
Yeah.
Eve?
So I guess, you know, if the conversation is what might be potential improvements to this book to help move us along, I guess I feel like the kinds of details, for example, of whether this breaks down to replacing one vehicle a year, is this are you guessing it's going to be two vehicles a year, adding the idea of replacing, you know, ultimately by the end of year three, replacing 50% of the vehicles with green vehicles, so that when we see the resolution, we can say, oh, this is that goal of replacing, or, you know, like that the more detail like that that's here, then we'll be able to take that resolution and understand how you're working towards your goal. Because here I have no idea how many vehicles you think you are going to do, whether you're shooting for 100% replacement or 50% in the next 3 years. You know, maybe it's only 20% for now, but then by 10 years it's something else. But I think having that kind of information.
So the step that comes next is when we come in with a resolution to establish a capital project. That's where that detail is.
Yeah, however, it's just, this is, to me, this is the goal. This is like, in 5 years, we hope to replace 50% of our vehicles with green vehicles and replace at least 8 of our existing vehicles. So that because the resolutions are often just, you know, one piece of this. Sometimes it's a year one piece, or sometimes it's an element one piece. It allows us to then go back to this and say, you know, check, that was the one thing that they said that they were going to do, and now they're working towards it.
Right. So if I guess your example being, if we were to look in the current year 2020, 702 is what they're saying they're going to be spending. How many vehicles is that? And when throughout the year? Right. Okay. Brian, you had a question?
It was very similar to that. The question is like, is there a breakdown of how many vehicles are actually there and the ages of those vehicles? In other words, how many
when we establish the capital the project each year, that's when we provide that backup. In this 5-year plan,
it's just an overview budget. It's a bookmark for this page.
Gotcha.
Because there's multiple pages like this in the plan where they should be looked at as bookmarks. You'll see various roads, various roofs, various parking lots. We come to you with the plan for that year and establish individual capital projects. But this is the bookmark for the summary of those capital projects over 5 years.
So when we see it at the beginning, or when you guys come to us with that plan, it will have the totality of the county fleet in that plan?
Yes. At the point where we're bringing this...
Well, that's what I'm asking. So is there...
The totality of the fleet.
Right.
That's so what you're looking at.
So the vehicles will replace aging vehicles in the county's fleet, right?
We could.
So if before, you know, if we have, you know, if we have, I don't even have an idea how many vehicles we're talking about here. Is it 20? Is it 100? Is it 200? I don't know.
It's about 200.
Okay, so it's 230, right?
So I don't have a problem with that going in here, like an overall number of what the county's fleet in the year that we make the 5-year plan, and then an estimate of the number.
So the idea is to have, you know, with the 230, then we would know, you know, what percentage are being replaced, and, you know, have a better idea, in my opinion, of when you're spending 700 grand, how many cars that would do, right?
Yeah. We can add that.
Thank you.
Heidi, you had
a
question?
I'll let
Dean
go ahead. No, what they answered for Brian kind of answered my question. Mm-hmm. What I just wanted to clear up is that during the times that I've been chairman of the Highway and Bridge Committee, when that year comes of that plan, they come in with a layout of the year, the kind of the model of the vehicle, how many miles is on it. They can show you how much repairs was done to it, the dates, how much each repair. So there is a breakdown at that time, mm-hmm, when the vehicles come due that they're going to replace. That information comes to the highway meeting right there in black and white.
And we're still finalizing it now, but we plan to submit that next month.
And it's still good to have it in there. I mean, you know, it's also good, you know, in terms of optics. You can imagine that if the larger executive budget included, you know, in 5 years we're going to make, and I keep repeating the same idea, 70% of our vehicles green vehicles, and that in this budget, this amount of money is going to do 10% of that 70%. You know, it allows the public to be like, oh, great, we're changing to green vehicles, and, oh, I understand this budget expense because it's going towards that, and so it allows us, when we have a resolution and we weren't at that meeting, we could go right back to this book and be like,
right,
oh, look how great this is. This is working towards that goal.
Heidi, you have something?
Yeah, actually, does the executive's office have a long-term capitalization plan in accordance with the New York State Comptroller's requirements? Does one exist? Because that's
in finance and budget.
That is a requirement as per the state comptroller that you have a long-term capitalization plan.
Mm-hmm.
That would include fleet like this and everything broken down.
I could be wrong, but aren't you passing one
that is
this month, right?
Yeah, we're doing UCAT this month.
No, I mean, what are you working with Bird on? One of the resolutions.
Improving the.
No, not the capital project. There's a resolution that's working on some capital assets.
Oh, for works in progress, yes.
Maybe that's different.
Yeah,
but I know there's something that Bert has. Yes,
because there's a requirement by law that you have that,
mm-hmm,
in accordance with the state comptroller.
Right.
So there has to be one that exists somewhere, and if you're going to do a fleet evaluation, as you would do, you go around and see which vehicles in the fleet need to be upgraded, and then that would become part of your capitalization plan, submitted to the state comptroller if need be. So something like this has to exist somewhere already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think what we're trying to get to is they already to your point, they already have the data. How can we get some generalization information into the capital plan so that it's more meaningful for us as we go forward?
Yeah.
And we have a better understanding in a given year what you're anticipating. Not just the overall goals of the fleet and where you're going, but what is represented in the 702 as we go forward. Now, one of the other things that, and I was just, we were just talking about this, is potentially having this kind of a meeting in the budget cycle,
mm-hmm,
when everything else, so that we're talking about it before we're approving the plan versus now we're playing catch up. So we appreciate your time on that. But
yeah,
that's one of the things that I will think will help us as we go forward.
And just because I don't have infinite amount of time tonight, and I wasn't planning this meeting being like where we're taking in recommendations, my suggestion would be any recommendations that you have to changing this book, that happens in writing and at a different time. I thought that this meeting was just going through the capital program, which will take long enough as it is, but if we are stopping on every single project and going through in the detail that we just went on this one, then we're going to be here
till midnight.
Till midnight.
Yeah.
Well, let's go through what we have. I mean, I think what you're going to have is what we've just gone through with this one. You're probably going to have those same questions.
I'm just saying for recommendations. Questions on the actual project is fine.
Okay.
I'm happy to walk everybody through so everybody understands what each capital project. If there's recommendations for further years, that could be done at a different time.
Okay. The next one is the new tax system, which we've just had in Ways and Means, and we know that's out to RFP. We now understand, you know, what it's for, and we're waiting to see what the RFP.
And we're hoping it'll add a lot of efficiencies by taking electronic payments, etc.
Right, right. Anybody else have any questions on that one?
Well, that's a very great point. So that would be great to see in something like this is what kind of efficiency you would actually expect to get by this expenditure.
I want to take in those recommendations. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't, but just I don't know that this would be.
Well, sometimes we may not know a recommendation until we have a conversation about it. So I think you're going to have to be a little flexible to hear both sides. So I would ask for that. Yeah.
Just a quick question, and that is why are we only out 3 years in Central Auto and some other places and other times out 5?
On the...
What are you looking
the
at?
The fleet replacement. We only put 20, 21, 22, 23. We don't have numbers in for 24 and 25.
I'll consult Kim, but I'm sure it's because prices change. But I don't know.
Most of them are that way, or even less.
Some of them don't have a 5-year full. Like, we're not going to go all the way out to 5 years. But for the vehicles, I think trying to determine...
Vehicle cost on 5 years is a rough go.
And just where we'll be at in 2024, we don't know the fleet well. I mean, we don't want to also set a rigid, we're going to replace a vehicle after 10 or 12, 15 years because the vehicle may not have the mileage that makes sense. So looking that far out, I think, is difficult.
Gives you a little flexibility, okay. The next one, this one has been a question mark for all of us. And again, this is where, if you're going to put relocations as the overarching name of this, then you need to start putting what some of your intent is on movement, because you've got a plan. You know what departments you're moving if you've not already moved them. But having them listed so that we know when we get a resolution, oh, this gets applied to this. You know, then we're able to start footing some of these projects with the plan, with the numbers. And today, we just get a broad category that says various relocations.
Right.
Trace?
Yeah, and on that, I mean, I think I just want to assure from my perspective that putting in the names of the departments that you plan to move in your plan, even as we accept them as a plan. If you were to tell me departments X, Y, and Z, and then you ended up going with D, Y, and Z, because things change, that's fine. I think it just, whatever detail you have at whatever given moment,
yeah,
and it being creative would help us to,
okay,
to understand.
It's something we can look at. I mean, I am concerned that, like, sometimes we haven't even had conversations with the departments, and so projecting that we're going to move a department 3 years or 2 years out when it may or may not happen, and then people are like, well, you're moving us. I mean, we always have that conversation well ahead when they need to know. We just don't necessarily put it in a document like this because not all of those conversations have had. And I will say, while some departments do have planned moves, others don't. I mean, I just had a meeting with several of the judges in OCA who would like, you know, they need an expansion over in the courthouse, and they would prefer the DA's office be somewhere else, and this is all conversations that are potentially going to happen, but that...
And I hear you, but then at the very least, when we're being asked to approve a 5-year plan, and it has $1.5 million in it for 20, at the very least...
Then it should say that. I agree.
For 20,
yes.
For the current year.
For the current year.
Or the upcoming year. Yeah.
Yeah.
And just for clarification for me... Does each of the moves get a different capital plan number? Or do they
capital
all,
project.
Or capital project number?
So we don't come, our new policy with DPW is we don't come to you with anything that's not a real cost. So anything that you've approved so far...
On a capital project.
On a capital project. Anything that you approve is based off those dollars, so you'll know what we're doing. If we need to do an addition to that, we have to come back for you for money because we can't pay it out operating.
So it would be an amendment to that that specific capital plan number.
The capital project number.
The capital project.
Yeah, so number. Like right now we've come to you for the cost that it's going to be to move IS. If we want to move another department, we have to come to you again with the details of what department we're talking about and the exact price.
Right. So this doesn't give you, but it doesn't give a number, so this particular group doesn't have a number attached to it.
When you sorry to interrupt, but when you say a number, what do you mean?
You know how you have some of the projects you assign a number to it?
We don't get capital numbers until they're established by you.
Capital project numbers?
Yes, capital project numbers.
We assign the numbers.
They're assigned by finance after you approve them. So the resolution will say 563. Right. So the resolution is 563, and that'll be the division in the H account inside Logos. That's where the money goes.
So then you can track it on the system. I get it.
This is a brand new project being entered into the plan late. Because it was new for 2020, wasn't part of the right. So the ones that have numbers,
it was in last year.
Project number is the division for that capital project.
It was in last year, wasn't it?
No, I don't believe so.
Or is it new?
This is new.
The relocation of emergency management was in last year.
Yeah.
I'd say again.
The relocation of emergency management was in last year,
which is a standalone.
Well, and there is that the Ulster County LEC mezzanine?
Yes.
That's what that is?
But it's not, I mean, it's not going to be the mezzanine anymore.
So we changed the name because it's not going to go to that space.
Okay, so you changed the name to?
Emergency Management Co-location.
Are we moving on to that one?
See, yeah, that's where you start to confuse us.
Well, that's an established project, right? Is that an established project?
Because that's a $3 million project as well. So the addition, the new $3 million project was the relocation of various departments.
Yes.
And you just changed the... So, you know, again, I think we should put something in the index where you're... referencing what you may have called it in the past, so that it, pardon me?
Formerly known as.
Yes, exactly. So that at least we can foot it. Because it's very difficult when you get the books to try and compare.
I hear, yes.
So, okay, good.
I mean, I don't know that I would get as specific as and put mezzanine either in like a future book. Sorry.
No, just at the end of the $3 million and the end of 2021, is all the space then going to be utilized at the building?
At the Business Resource Center?
Yeah.
Yes, likely. Now, this is not only to move departments to the business resources.
Okay, so this is for other moves as well.
It could be other moves as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Again, we have to come to you and amend the project at that point.
Yeah, we saw last night a lease agreement, and I'm just trying to think if we can look at making sure that if we have available space to get out of these leases.
Yeah, and just so you're aware, that is required to be separate building than the social services building, and so we wouldn't be able to utilize any space there anyway.
I just meant in general, if you have other locations that we're freeing up. And
we want to get it out of as many leases. Leases are not, especially uptown and et cetera.
Do you have a plan for that?
To get out of leases? I mean, no.
Outside of the general... Outside of their general statement, additionally, some departments currently located in rented space will be relocated to county-owned space.
I mean, part of it is looking at what exactly the IS building needs and whether we would want to bring that back as a county-owned building. If it's like they have a knee wall structural problem right now, which is, I think, Brian asked this question in one of the meetings, people still have to get on top of the roof and shovel the roof to make sure there's not too much snow load. We want to get everybody out. That's why we're moving IS. We could fix the knee wall or not. We could sell it. I mean, right now it's not a county-owned space. It's owned by USITA, it could always come back to the county, or we can find somebody else to take it over. You know, at one point that building housed the Board of Elections, so there is no concrete plans, and I don't know that that's another, you know, I don't know that that's a solution. I don't think they would like going back to there anyway.
Jonathan?
I just had a quick question. So, I mean, the $3 million, I mean, that's a significant amount of money.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of curious what that $3 million entails. I'm assuming the actual moving cost, any type of renovations, equipment, supply, but this, like,
it's a design.
Design, does rent?
Materials.
Does any type of rent?
No, we can't.
Keep in mind, this isn't real money yet. It's a budget until you guys.
So I was just kind of curious, so you're, when you get to this number of $3 million,
that was working with Bob Buser, the Deputy Commissioner of Buildings and Grounds, and what he sees on the horizon and potential costs, especially when there was a lot of unknowns. When we created this, we weren't sure if the Ulster Savings Bank, where the public defender is, was going to be available to us past the current term because it was being sold. Now the new owners have said they would be willing to keep us there. There was a lot of unknowns, so I think he erred to be conservative and ask.
That's pretty much what I was getting to.
Yeah. Okay. Right now, you know, obviously we're only asking for 150.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I was curious because it is a high number.
It is. I'm not going to lie that it's fairly high, but we don't plan on spending it unless necessary.
A lot of the savings have come from being able to do work in house.
Yep.
As much as possible, we push the work in house. We have qualified people to do most of the work.
Okay, so let's move on to the next one. Veteran Services.
The next.
Oh, you mean we were.
Do you need to talk about co-location of emergency management or?
Yes.
Sorry, yes, we do. Thank you.
So we're looking at moving, you know, emergency management to the law enforcement center. We've identified a space over visitations. Where we can build out some more floor. We moved safety out of there. We moved Stop DWI out of there to the Business Resource Center so that we can start construction. We're also examining building out. There's one space that's in between the two buildings that the rest of the buildings have a second floor, but this only has a roof. We're considering whether it makes more sense to build there or to build out the floor over visitation. So we're having architects look at that right now.
So that's what we're spending money on this year. This year is the design plan.
Yes, okay. But also rapidly construction if possible.
Has any of that, has space being freed up in the jail been considered for reuse for any of these kinds of buildings? Or is that just that came out later after you had already done this?
No, that's why we freed it up. Was to get people out for potential. I mean,
she's talking about the pods.
Oh, the pods.
Yeah.
No, because that has to go through a whole process. We'd have to close the pod; it'd be approved and.
Trace.
So Brian was just reminding me that you know, initially when the jail was under construction, and then once it was early in operation, there was a real push to analyze the space because there was a feeling that, particularly as it related to the office. Space aspect, the non-jail itself aspect, that it was way overbuilt. And we pushed for space studies, and we advocated for moving a lot over into that space. Now, my question, I know it's a little more difficult now with now that it's fully occupied, it's running, we have a duly elected officer there, but have we done an analysis of the utilization of that space? And whether or not all those offices are actually needed for, you know, I mean, and I guess I understand the stepping on of toes.
Some of that office space. Now, a lot of what you have there that's wasted space is like vast hallways.
Right.
Right? So in the one plan that we have, which is building out over visitations, we're taking a lot of that space. We're taking some of the sheriff's offices with his consultation. He's been in the loop the entire time and has been receptive. We're taking space that would be, you know, some of his offices, and that becomes the emergency operations center. Now, it also frees up other space for him because we would be co-locating his dispatch with our emergency management dispatch,
right.
Which has a lot of efficiencies, and so that would open up his command center dispatch.
But I think, I mean, I guess what I'm saying, and I haven't spoken to the current sheriff about it at all, but and so I'm not suggesting that there's a sense of being territorial from the sheriff, but I also feel like it's almost like you'd want a third party, not someone from the executive's office or from the county at all, to come in and analyze the use of the space, because as I recall, and I was saying I have all the plans at home too, there were quite a lot of different conference rooms. I mean, there's at least three or four, if I recall.
We're taking some of them. I mean, we did a space analysis by an architect. We did a space... Alfondre Architecture came in, they interviewed sheriff's department members, they interviewed emergency management to see what space they would need. They walked around.
Stay on site and see whether offices were filled.
Yeah, I mean, he went into each office, see empty offices, see conference rooms that are right down the hallway from other conference rooms.
Right.
And we've looked at using some of those spaces, and the sheriff's been willing to give up some of that space.
There's a lot of space. Those offices were huge.
Yeah, I remember.
Okay. Tractor trailers and furniture going in to fill out.
All right. Any other questions on this one? Let's go to the next.
Veterans Cemetery?
Yes, service shelter.
Yep. So we are, I mean, everybody could read this, but
yep,
is
that
there...
Yep, that pretty... Anybody have questions, Trace?
I don't have questions. I mean, this is, I feel like the detail is excellent on this. This is what we're looking for. But one thing that I think would be helpful is to have it contained in this, where you have the previous expenditures, or somewhere you can reference what resolutions those were.
So in prior years, resolutions,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
If we could somewhere just capture, so that if we're flipping through the book, I can look and I can, oh, then quick look up that resolution. Like somehow it contains a history that can be cross-referenced. That's my suggestion.
Well, I think this is new. I don't think this is in the past.
No,
resolution.
We've spent $152,000 in prior years.
And there's going to be more of those coming up. Like, that's a general comment, that if somehow we can capture the enabling resolutions or the capital project numbers through resolution from previous projects that are applied.
Yeah, I mean, I will say anything that has a capital project number, it references in this gray box. And so that's where we spent that money. That's not telling you the resolutions that enable it.
Where are you pointing?
Where it says where the name is. Veterans Committal Serve. No.
Oh, capital project 528.
528.
So all the monies allocated to that capital project are in the finances. You can be looking at any time.
So it's easily pulled.
Absolutely.
It was, once we get a resolution and it shows that number, we can pull the financials for that.
I would love to have a resolution.
Okay.
It's a lot more work for us. I mean, we'll take that into advisement.
When you say it's a lot more work, I mean, I think if it becomes part of the natural plan, just keeping the tracking, it doesn't end up being a lot more work.
Right.
If you start right now and go back and fill it in, it's a lot of work. If it's something we're doing moving forward, I think it's probably doable.
Okay. We'll
look at it.
Like Don
said, we don't create the resolution numbers and we don't create the capital project numbers. So it is a little bit more work on our.
But they're historical. So at the point you have them, you can be noting them and be adding them to the book.
Okay, so the next one's car building renovations.
Well, I was just going to make one.
Oh, I'm sorry. You had something?
On the tracking sheet. On the capital project tracking sheet that we get at the end of the month, what was spent. Isn't the resolution number in that?
Is that something you craft?
I think Amber might do that.
Also, in the finance system, every it references the resolution that's adding the money.
Yeah.
So if you pull reports out of the finance system, it can give you the list of every resolution.
I think the issue is if they're doing things without Amber and I.
Yeah,
we're not always
I do a lot
available. And
yeah. Right. So if having it in one place is helpful. So we'll figure out if there's a way how we can try and make something like that happen.
But check Amber's sheet, because it may already be something that we get every month.
She's been trying to do that. Yeah, she's been trying to do that. Okay, car building renovations.
What are we using car building for?
Car building.
What did we skip?
No, that's called the car building.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. I thought it was a different project.
Okay.
I was like, whoa.
What is the house in the car building now?
This is this crime victims? Is that the car building? Yeah, this
one
is
pearl.
I don't use it.
One pearl. So this is crime victims. So this is solely crime victims. Yeah. We just expanded. We went from 4 to 7, and so.
Good. Last time I was here, Judge Kavanaugh was using it.
At one point, we had Ace up there. We had self insurance up there.
That's just on the other side, here, mm-hmm. by the parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions on this one? All right, county office elevator project, that's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Is that going to happen?
Yeah, but just look at all the efficiencies of how long people yeah. spend in the elevator to be able to do extra
work. Talk about a rear entrance. Where is, what's rear? Like, where are we?
The parking lot's rear.
The parking lot. Yeah. And that would be an employee entrance, or would you actually that elevator, or what's the plan?
I believe it calls for a freight elevator on this one, and it also calls for replacing the water pipes in the building.
Great elevator
does.
And a
So it's a major overhaul renovation for this project.
Front door.
And you're adding a freight elevator? Don't they use the main elevator as a freight, or is there another elevator?
No, they use the main elevator as a freight elevator. The idea would be to separate that out so that only freight go on the freight elevator, and it opens up the public elevator to not be used
really
for freight.
$3 million or whatever. Like, how did how do these things get prioritized?
But just
a lot of money.
That is. Go ahead, Jonathan.
In addition to freight, it mentions medical evacuation, which obviously I believe is probably requirements for that. What is our current medical evacuation?
You see those things you push down the stairs?
Yeah.
That's how.
So those things don't fit on the current elevator.
The stretchers.
The freight elevator would be large.
Stretchers, and that's the prime motivator. And that's this has been carried forward in the plan for some time.
Yeah.
It's never been executed.
But it is changing out the domestic water and drain lines as well.
Which
is that what the expense is for this year?
I would say typically with these, if you see an expense, it's designed first.
Okay. Yes.
Isn't the use primarily, non-freight? I'm just concerned that it sounds like you're planning to dedicate one of the two elevators for freight. No.
No. You'll have three elevators. It'll be three elevators. There'll be an elevator put at the rear of the building.
Got it. Sorry.
Right.
Freight and medical.
And medical evacuation.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
All right, courthouse, exterior repairs and roof replacement, fascia, courthouse fascia. Any questions?
It increases energy efficiency.
Well, you're happy about that.
I am.
Oh my gosh.
Just for you, Manna.
When was the last time we did the cupola? I feel like that was not long ago.
Okay, any other questions on this? All right, let's go to the next one. Development court pervious pavement, a parking lot. Any questions there?
I give this one a thumbs up as well.
Okay. Are we doing more of that? Pervious pavement?
When it makes sense.
When it makes
sense. It doesn't make sense in every pavement, but.
Right.
All right. Information technology upgrade. Now that is isn't that a new one?
Yes.
So a lot of times we bought this out of operations, but they do have a useful life that Bert can bond for. And
this is a significant cost, too much so to put in operations. And IS says they needed the upgrades.
So we would get the detail on what the upgrades would be on the resolution when it goes.
Yeah, when it's submitted to you, when the bids go out and the RFPs go out, you get everything in full.
Switches,
etc.
Have they gone out yet on this?
No.
Okay.
That's a big project.
next one, fairground improvements. And again, there you had a couple fairground on the old...
the old one, you...
You had ADA parking. Was that completed?
Yeah, you approved that one last year and it was completed.
I kind of remember that one, yeah. And then, now we just have the improvements, which has... Is that going up?
No, you just did a couple, didn't we?
You just amended this one.
Amended this one.
Yeah.
Yep, this month.
For design.
For design.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I guess, I'll write this down so you'll have it all in writing, but for this one, for example, you say potential state funding available, maybe being more explicit, like, are you actually going to apply for this potential state funding? What is the state funding? How much of it is potentially available? Just having that detail there so we can...
So when do you put that in the lower box? You know, in the plan book, there's a funding section. Mm-hmm. And right now it's showing,
when it's guaranteed.
Pardon me?
When it's either, it depends on the type of project. So if it's a road project, if it's on the tip or STIP, it'll be put in that.
Okay.
If it's a grant, I wouldn't put it in there until we've either been approved a grant or we more or less know that it's a certainty.
Mm-hmm. So we'll only know, and do you update this if you get the grant the following year?
Absolutely.
In the plan? Okay. Because I have very few that I've seen, maybe just because we haven't gotten the grant. Okay. All right, any other questions on that one? Okay, pump house control upgrade, Kingston Water Department. And this is a new one, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Public Safety Training Center. And again, you changed that from what we had it previously, Fire Training Center. We had a $3.5 million increase in that was the cost for the build for the two-story, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And the name change on this was due to the funding source, just so you're aware.
Oh, is that why? Okay.
Yeah.
It has a broader impact.
To be called the Public Safety Training Center.
Got it. To get the funding for it.
Correct.
Got it. Well,
and we're going to be coming in and probably amending this depending on what happens with bids this week, but we still need a solution for the administration building.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jonathan?
That was my question.
So, I mean, we're anticipating that bids may come in tomorrow higher than we're willing to spend. So they may need to, we may do some in-house work with our good DPW forces to get the current building at least up to a place where they can have classrooms and use it, and then look at trying to go out and find grants or other things to really have a better administration building. But like even going to the modular, which is what we did and have been working on design, and bids come back tomorrow, it's still looking over $1 million.
Okay.
And so we decided not to come to you for $1 million in renovations.
About the size of a raised range.
Dean, you had a question.
2,500.
I was just wondering if they were
that. Yeah. Well, the modular itself is like 400, 500, but when you're talking about demolishing what's there, the foundation.
And then retrofitting for the needs of that type of facility.
Building the foundation into the basement where,
So it's more than likely Mark will probably go with the prefab.
We're more than... No, probably not. We will probably just be renovating some minor renovations to what is there as opposed to building new. Demolishing and building new, either prefab or...
Do you have any idea what that number is? To
that's just using. We're assuming demolishing and putting up a modular prefab is going to be over $1 million.
Over a million. Okay. Now
when we did this project originally,
how many square feet?
It's roughly 2,500 to 3,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
Size of a house.
Yeah.
It is a house.
Why wouldn't you demolish it using fire training.
There you
we
go.
Need to reuse some of it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's any other questions on that? All right, Golden Hill water tanks. Now that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Earlier on one of the projects, Tom said it had been in the book for a long while, and that, you know, the project had been overlooked in Scottsdale, we were talking about. And I see that too with the cupola one. I see it in older books, and I'm assuming it's the exact same wording, but I'm assuming it wasn't funded or decided.
I think it's rolled over because it wasn't funded.
Is there a way that we can identify the when the project was identified initially, so that even if we don't fund it or we don't move on it, if I look at this cupola and I can see that it was first put into the capital plan.
Established when?
Even if it was
to established date?
Yeah, even if it wasn't, just so that
in project
cross-reference against.
If we put an established date for the project.
Well that's not
for the
plan.
For the plan. Sorry.
But yeah. In project detail and status, we can say we first put this on the plan in what year we put it on the plan.
That would be just
we've
great.
Been kicking this down the road for like 70 years.
I mean, it just things become, you know, not priorities. You're going to see a bridge in here later that we're probably not spending money on.
And I totally understand that. Just talk in terms of cross reference.
Absolutely.
Back someone.
Yep.
Thank you.
Good. You wrote that.
Okay. Golden Hill water tower, water tanks. Now that one went up significantly too, almost $500,000 on that one.
We're changing to a full replacement as opposed to
repair.
A repaint, essentially.
Was that because you just did an RFP on it, or? Or just
we did an engineering analysis, and the cost of doing the repairs that are needed on a tank that's 50 years old didn't make sense on a cost-benefit basis. So the cost of a new tank today is comparable, more but comparable, and the health department encouraged us. It's paint on the inside. And you can now get glass tanks, which are much more, you know, environmentally friendly in terms of what comes out of the tank. So we think it makes sense to move forward with replacement.
Okay. And for how long? What's the replacement?
It's about a 50-year lifespan.
Oh, okay.
For a tank. And it's currently 49 years old.
Okay. Jonathan?
I hate to backtrack a little bit, but it's been driving me crazy. Just looking at just the numbers and going back to, like, the Pavilion project, a project I totally support the intent, but I'm just curious, for the Pavilion, it's almost the same number, and we were talking about in-house before, to construct that Pavilion, which looks like approximately the whole 30 people, how we're looking at almost the same cost of completely replacing a water tower. I'm just kind of curious, and I hate to again backtrack, but just seeing the comparison of the project.
Cemetery.
I just had a little bit of curious how we got to that number.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just building a pavilion, it's also the actual.
So we did get prices. We did get prices for renovations. We got the bids for the Burns Center.
No, we're talking about the pavilion for the Veterans Center.
Hold on.
Yeah,
right here.
Seeing this number and comparing it back to that.
But it is more than the pavilion.
It's additionally landscape will be provided for an honor guard, approximately 3,700. We're expanding into a whole other area.
Said almost $500,000.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions on this? All right, let's move to DSS basement repair. Any questions here?
What's the timeline on making this happen? This seems like urgent.
Yeah, I thought we did something last year on this, right? Yeah.
I will double check. I believe we started a study on it last year, but we opted to take it out of in-house, but I honestly don't remember.
Yeah, that's okay.
I know we started the work on it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if we have flooding and foundation infiltration,
I remember our paralegal in our office writing the contract for
it
something.
It looks like we have a design cost, $31,000 already happened, and then in 19 it says 19 to 20 it says 219.
That might be my mistake for not putting the capital project number on the top of that. It probably has one.
I don't know. That's a good question.
It does.
It does, right?
Because we voted on it.
Right. So that's, I'm sorry, that one's my fault.
So just for a point of clarification, where it says prior years expenditures, does it include anticipated through the end of the year?
It's based off of when it's submitted in June, but if we have an anticipation, we include it. Otherwise, we only put in actuals. I know that's an iffy answer. I'm sorry. But
because you're preparing this in June, but when it gets finalized, do you update it then? We don't get it finalized, do we? Yeah, we do, when we adopt.
I think the $31,000 we already voted on.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I'm just asking for all of them, any prior year. Is it for expenses?
I would say if we went to you with a resolution for additional monies, then yes, we would put that
out. Okay. Thank you.
Quick question about this new order here. Is this... You know, it seems to be, I can recall this when I was here last time. I hate to keep saying that, but the bell just keeps ringing, bing, 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 over and over. We had evacuations, I think, at one point in one of those buildings because of flooding way back when, right? And we're going over the other capital projects, we're dumping millions of dollars into that building, but wouldn't this be a priority to get the water out of the basement before we continue to put more and more money into the building?
I mean, I think we have to, as indicated here, we have to have an engineer determine what the cause of the flooding is. It may not be a simple
fix.
Yeah. So I know we were having an engineer look at that. I don't know what the outcome.
They're establishing hydrostatic wells so they can determine if the water table is high. We think that might be the reason, and mm-hmm. this leaking happened during a very, very wet year, 2018.
Yeah, it's not an ongoing leak.
So it's a town of Ulster, the water table's high. I promise you. It's mm-hmm. high. The whole town is high.
But it's not continually hot.
Right.
The leaking is not as big a problem as it was in 2018. Yeah. And years ago, you remember, there was a grout project that fixed it. So either, and we don't know, did that grout now fail or has the leak expanded to other areas, and the grout is still valid. Okay.
Yep.
So that's the part of the evaluation and design is to determine the cause.
Tracy, it's capital project 548 if you're looking. And we established it for
Steve, you had a question?
$24,000.
Internally or externally, and maybe it's just something I haven't seen, do prioritize these projects?
Yeah, they get prioritized in a variety of ways.
Like when you're thinking about them in the beginning,
right.
you do.
Yes.
I guess I wonder, I mean, obviously a specific ranking, maybe another element is to know which ones of these projects you're seeing as having a higher priority versus other projects might be.
Yeah, I mean.
Even if it's a star on the corner of a certain, you know, but.
Well, this is an example. We may not be able to do that until we know the cause,
right,
to know how high a priority it is.
Well, obviously fixing the floor you know that part of it. You know whether addressing the issue is a priority or not. I'm just asking, like if in your back end you are already have some sense of these are the things that we really, really would hope are actually done, because you've mentioned a few things that said that we never got around to that. I guess it'd be nice for us to know, like, these are the things you really wish would happen versus the ones
top
that
priorities
if they can happen,
for
they
the
happen,
year.
But,
yeah.
You know,
right.
It'd just be nice to know.
Okay.
Just one other question. The HVAC weatherization, all of that has been completed? Because that was on last year. It was a $3.5 million.
It's not completed. It is still in process, but we're not going to be requesting any more money for those capitals. So it's off the plan now, so because it's no longer on the docket for you to approve.
Because you've already had all the approvals you need to finish the project.
Right.
So it comes out of the book then?
Yes.
Okay.
The intent is for that work to be spent this year,
uh-huh,
and then for a new round of HVAC to be submitted next year in accordance with the Green New Deal.
Okay, all right.
It's a process of aligning replacement of HVAC systems with the climate action plan. That's what we're going to be converting to.
All right, so that's why it dropped off of this year. Yeah. You're completing what other pieces you have, and then we'll go from there. And you need no further funding because you have what you need.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, thank you.
I'll say that unless something breaks.
I'm holding you to that, Don. Don't come asking for more money.
Unless the rooftop unit breaks, then we need to come to you in a hurry.
I'm teasing you. Okay, thank you. Old jail demolition?
Old jail demolition.
It's been on for a while, hasn't it?
It has. I think we'll finally move on it this year.
Oh,
but
really?
I don't know that we're going to actually spend this money. Because we're looking at doing some various things, potentially going out with some kind of, we're looking at potentially reusing that property in a way for either affordable housing, or we may be seeking developers. We're not there yet, but I don't know that we're going to spend this money to demolish the site.
So are you telling me that you're considering moving it for a sale purposes?
We don't know. We don't know yet. We're in the very early stages. It's all part of our housing, you know. I think
what
that's,
opportunity
that's been something that's been talked about in
for a long time.
Various campaigns and things. I don't think that that's a surprise or a shock to anybody, but we are examining whether that's prudent.
They took a lace factory and made it into apartments. Why not a jail?
Sure.
Turn it into apartments.
Well, I don't think that you would be. I mean, my guess is that somebody would demolish it. But it has some of the most beautiful views in Ulster County. So.
Didn't probation already get moved?
No. So there's still various probation where sex offenders check into up in that area. We also have a few other departments in that area as well.
Trace, did you have a question?
You can wait.
Okay, Heidi?
Just real quick, does that water tower supply water for that whole, what does that supply the water for? Is it the jail and
the
UCAT and the nursing home? Oh, okay, and it's
and
so
the new jail. And
the new jail. Oh, wow, okay.
All right, the next one is the card readers for substation. We just approved that.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's clear. Anybody have any questions before we move on that? Okay. Fire alarm and heating cooling control upgrade?
It hasn't gone out to bid yet.
Okay.
The short of it is technology has got to the point where we can't find parts to replace some of the things, so we have to replace the system.
Okay.
Are you striving to centralize all of the building systems to be uniform throughout, or you're just going on whatever lowest bidder comes per project?
We'd probably take all that into consideration, but we adhere to procurement policy, and the best value for the county is what I would say.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Sean.
Do we qualify, and I don't know the answer to this, for money from NYSPA for some of these?
I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Okay. Just a question. Perrin's Bridge Abutment, Poor House Memorial, and Probation Building, all of those, you know, almost $5 million total, those came off the books?
Perrin's Bridge?
Perrin's Bridge Abutment, Poor House Memorial, and the Probation Building?
Poor House Memorial's done.
That one's finished.
Okay, that's done.
But the Perrin's Bridge is...
should still be on there.
It's not on here. Perrin's Bridge Abutment. I didn't see it. And I could have missed it, but I don't see it in here.
Perrin's Bridge Restoration.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, page 64.
Okay. And what's the dollar amount on that?
$1.35 million
Okay, so that's going up from $750 million
It's been in the plan so long that it needed newer estimates, is the best way to say it.
Well, then this goes back to what Tracy was saying, understanding when it was established, so we have a frame of reference on that. And again, keeping the names the same so we can track them.
And I would assume at this location, it's probably, the abutment's getting worse and worse, so it's going to require more money to do more
work.
But,
you know, I thought we did that not too long ago.
95.
Was it that? No, I thought, did we do something else on the bridge?
There was a proposal brought before the legislature, but I understand it didn't move forward. For whatever reason, it didn't.
It was prior to the time where we would get real cost before establishing a capital project.
Okay.
So the project was established with a base budget estimate.
300.
And it was never pursued.
Got it. Okay. All right. Next one, quarry complex renovations. Now, this one went down significantly, or did it? No, sorry. No, it's fine. Any questions on that? Okay. Record storage. This one did go down. Correct? It was originally submitted as...
862,000. I don't have last year's in front.
I do. Okay. And now it's 200, almost 300, 250.
Oh, we replaced the HVAC units that failed on this one. So that's why the cost for this capital went down, because we established a separate capital for HVAC that took the cost out of this.
So this fell under the HVAC?
No, it was a separate capital altogether, if I'm not mistaken. We came to you last year in a hurry because the units were failing, and those units are in part what control the humidity levels in the building.
Oh, critical for storage. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
In fact, you may be right. It came out of the HVAC capitals that were already established.
Just a big difference, and it went down with no explanation, so it was a little confusing.
It came out of last year's capital, 396.
Okay. All right, the next one, roof replacement program. So here you have identified each of the buildings that are included in this overall plan.
You'll see a jump from the previous year on this one.
Yeah, that is a jump from the previous.
Double.
It's double.
The
almost.
$5 million increase was because of UCLIC.
Pardon me?
Because of UCLIC.
I'm sorry.
The jail.
The jail. Okay. All these acronyms.
Sorry.
Yes.
Jonathan, we're keeping it repaired as best we can.
Yeah. 10 years,
15.
Oh, you got to go on the tour.
Okay, Manna had a question.
You probably can anticipate that. My question is that the feasibility study and
we reached out to planning and the Department of the Environment, and we're going to be meeting with them next week.
Next week, 17th.
I'm thrilled.
Excellent.
Yeah, because we fully intend, Manna, to evaluate these four rooftop
and
units.
I just want to say that I'm starting to see real manifestations of super insulation or energy efficiency, pervious surface, and so thank you for actively working on this.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the roof. I've never heard a roof less than 20-year warranty on it. How is this not covered under?
We can't answer that. We weren't there when it was constructed. There are parts of the roof that are in good shape and parts of the roof that are not. There are areas around the parapets that have broken down.
Is it Carlisle, the membrane on there, or you don't know?
Yes.
Yeah. If it's Carlisle, I don't think they do less than 20-year if it was installed by a... Called by Carlisle Spittle, you called them up, they repaired. I can't understand how less than 20 years.
We have a warranty. Most of what's wrong, they don't cover for one reason or another. So we've been going back and forth with them. And we don't need to replace this. I mean, I think you're looking at 2024.
Yeah.
That big jump in the number of the 5 million is 2024.
You just mentioned there's buckets. Heard that.
We're addressing those issues. There shouldn't be buckets. I've heard that rumor too, but
there are.
Somebody just said just here come out.
We address that every week.
Every year in the winter, if they get trips during the frozen season, our guys are out there right away.
And we've had Carlisle on site to make recommendations for the repairs. So we feel confident that the 2024 year will work.
On the other side of that, too, if we do opt to put solar on that roof, if the study comes back into favor, you don't want to put solar on a roof that's in bad shape either.
Oh, yeah.
Try.
So the two would go together.
So, I'm sorry, I'll have to wait in the bathroom for a minute. You're saying that the jail is scheduled for 2024.
That's plan.
Okay.
Right.
So my concern, having been there with this sheriff, who pointed out, I mean, I did the tour of the jail and saw multiple spots with actual buckets, and I also saw all the wet spots, both in the housing, but primarily in the administrative space. And when I spoke to the sheriff about it then, he told me that he was told by people in the jail that it's been like that forever. And so potentially the previous administration, remember, it's like there's a lot of contention about the overruns, the cost overruns at the jail. So to have just built this jail with massive cost overruns, this predates both of you and your roles. But and then to have a leaky roof, and to bring that to anyone's attention, which would have certainly brought press attention as well, maybe was a decision that some previous sheriff made that we're not even going to talk about this, we're just going to put buckets. But what concerns me is that these leaks may have been there for a very long time. Not talking about the ability to recover money, but the ability to protect the infrastructure. So have you actually done analysis of all the leaks and determined how extensive the damage is or not?
We've actually had it flown with a drone that does infrared reading to find those wet spots.
Yes.
We've addressed all the wet spots that we've been able to find. I don't know when your floor was.
It was probably before you.
Over the last year, since Mr. Huser has taken over the head of the Buildings and Grounds Maintenance, he has addressed he has addressed every one of the leaks. And if the sheriff points out any future leaks, they will address it. So we've had Carlisle in, we flew it with the drone, we found the wet spots, and we addressed them.
That's great.
We think we have the leaks resolved, but I agree that it was quite a leaky roof. Mm-hmm. Some of those leaks date back to the actual construction.
Yeah, they're
And that was unfortunate because you most certainly would have covered, but we are.
Just tore it a month ago?
Hello?
No, last year. At the end of last year.
Oh, so.
Well, there's another tour coming up.
Yeah.
And so we are doing our best. And Mr.
a leak could appear tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah. But as we learn of them, we are addressing them.
That's great.
Okay, the parapet's a different issue. That's an ongoing issue. It's leaking down the front. But that not into the building. So we know we have a problem there, but with Carlisle, we developed a plan that will get us to 2024.
Yeah.
Okay? And yes, the warranty does last until then. And we want to evaluate it for rooftop. And maybe it can all be one project.
Right. Replace the roof or something.
So was it a design flaw in the parapets that created the issue?
I wasn't there, but I'm hearing shoddy workmanship.
There was a lot of shoddy workmanship.
That's what I'm hearing.
There was a lot of shoddy from the beginning to the end of that project.
I still have some people that were at lower levels, but had eyes on the construction, and they tell me it was shoddy.
It was terrible.
we spent.
And a lot of stuff they weren't allowed to report.
Of time
it's just their superiors that were told to
yep.
shut up.
Put a lid on it.
Put a lid on it. Get this thing done.
All right.
So and we've inherited this.
Right. So now all it is a matter of keeping yep. up with it and fixing
right.
and getting other contractors to come and follow through on warranties.
Yeah.
All right. Any other questions on that? Okay, let's move to the next one. Security improvements, various buildings.
It's one of those ones that's been rolling.
That's what?
Been rolling.
Rolling?
Yep.
What, for build from building to building to building?
No, from just the, I think it's a being perplexed over what is the right approach. The county office building, for example, do we go with metal detectors? What do we do to upgrade security? So this has kind of been that placeholder
okay.
until some of those decisions get made. Okay.
And this is conversation with law enforcement and the county exec and
right,
trying to
exactly.
figure out. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And we've had every kind of recommendation, and it kind of goes full circle every time we talk about
and
it.
And we've not spent anything, but it's something, it's on the radar. It's
here.
Got
if,
it.
If some decisions get made and we get guidance on what direction to go with this,
okay,
we would come for
and get more get more specificity around
yeah.
what it is. We're
yeah.
Doing.
It's
okay. Sheriff's office impound yard.
So we just recently, you just executed a lease out at Spring Lake for this.
Yeah.
So the intent would be now once the rider's complete, so it's not our top priority at the moment, but once we get time, we will establish a capital project and send a plan to you for materials.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect we'll need full design, but we're going to need fencing and cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So we will do an in-house estimate for that.
Some paving, yeah.
And some paving. And then we'll have a larger sheriff's impound lot for the sheriff over at Spring Lake Fire Department.
So we're going to be making the improvements on the lot.
Yeah, we are. We'll do that in-house.
Okay.
We got that new well, paver now.
Yes, right.
Anybody else on that? Okay. Trudy Resnick, Barber, office building repairs.
Remind me who's in the
Oh boy, there's a whole list of uses down there. I don't go down that one too much.
I don't either. I'm sorry.
Where is this located?
Ellenville.
This is Newport.
Ellenville?
Tell me who's in there because I got to tell you the common complaint is there's nothing in there. There's very few services going on in there anymore. It was, at one time, it was a very heavily staffed building for the county services, and it's most of it got shifted back up to Kingston and people are being told to us. And the common complaint I get is the trip to go to Kingston when people are being placed in Ellenville for emergency housing and they've got three or four kids and they have to try to get them
so
up to Kingston.
So we don't designate you.
I know.
But we should sort
of venting at the same time as I'm trying to explain
I just
to you.
To
I know. Believe me.
I can't go fix that.
I know. It's more of venting. I will say the building definitely, I can't recall, honestly, and I grew up in Ellenville, and I've been in that building since I'm a kid. I don't remember the building ever looking any different than it does now, so I don't
need restoration.
Yeah, I don't think that any true restoration, other than maybe painting every once in a while, has been done.
This all looks like maintenance. It doesn't look like
yeah.
anything.
Yeah, it's new floors, new walls.
Yeah,
right. Manna, you had a question?
Well, this is one where I'd like to see energy efficiency included, and I don't, so.
They put in a car charger in there a couple years ago.
I'm sorry?
They put in a car charger a couple years ago.
Okay. But.
Where it's applicable to this capital, we'll certainly look into it.
It's okay. Cosmetic.
Yeah, it looks more like carpet.
Yeah.
Well,
upkeep. Maintenance.
Yeah.
And I guess, what are we using it for if nobody's in there?
Well, I say nobody. I mean, there are services in there, but it's. I don't believe, from what I'm hearing, it's the services that are the true need for the area. I think there are some services, but it's not, considering the amount of placement that's happening down in Ellenville through Mercy Housing and the services that those people need,
it's not those kind of services that are being held down there. I know there is some mental health service that's being done down there, but it is limited in its capacity.
That's something we should follow up with.
I was just going to say, I've got a note here to, you know, get a better sense on this one.
Especially if we're going to spend a million to make it work.
Right. All right. The next one is reconstruction of various parking lots.
Oh, sorry, I was on the wrong one.
This is another one of those bookmark pages where if we decided to construct a parking lot, we'd come with you for a specific capital number.
But you have no parking lots at this point that you're identifying here, are you? No.
It just says various.
Yeah.
It's
And go ahead, Trace.
Well, so, like, a page holder, I feel like a page holder is fine, but a page holder with specific numbers attached gives me pause. You know what I mean? If it's saying, you're saying we're going to need various, fine, but, you know, how did you arrive at 305, 208, and 351?
To be honest with you, I believe this is a capital that's been rolled for so many years. I didn't craft those numbers.
So I think we should just try to be more, like, again, we will understand when you come to us. You come to us with real numbers, so we're going to understand when you come to us with real numbers and you say this needs to be done. And this, but if there isn't actually a plan attached to the plan, it seems problematic.
Why is it in here? We're talking about the parking lots.
Were those numbers based off of redoing our parking lot here last year?
I don't believe so.
No.
All over
no, we know that we need repairs at the family court. The SS
is that in a separate one?
That's
a
separate one, or
that? Oh, the exterior.
Yeah,
I can't read.
We also need pavement repairs at the pool complex.
Yes, that's.
But I can't associate those numbers in the plan. I think they've been there for a while.
And then back to that earlier point, if you know that there are certain parking lots, then probably you couldn't call those parking lots.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
And back to earlier points, if you do know there are certain parking lots, then those should be, if you're going to have it in there, put where...
At least put the parking lots in there, right?
Yeah.
The intention, the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or take it out totally. Totally. Yeah.
Well, with the proviso that if an immediate need comes up, we just can't say, well, it's not on the list, so we're not doing it.
Generally...
Okay, any other questions on that? Next one is energy upgrades. Work is still being done on that?
Yes. The $1 million figure for 2020 is the boilers at UCLEC. We had the bid come back this week. We're going to be interviewing people, and then we'll be coming to you to amend the capital project for that money.
Okay. Equipment and technology, Ulster Community College.
This one also says that it's supported by NYSERDA grant, but there's nothing in there.
Is that other?
So this is other. A unique capital in that it is shared by DPW and Environment. So I'm sorry if I can't speak on all the money that's involved in it.
Well, there's the FlexTech.
The FlexTech study was certainly in it, so that had money. But I can't speak on all the money involved in this capital. Some of it was the LED light bulb upgrades at county buildings. I personally don't know without looking into it all the way what was... reimbursed.
So when we're crafting the next one, can we try to capture that information from the other departments too? It just paints a more full picture.
But the money that we did receive is listed under other on the bottom, right? $250,000.
Where are you seeing that?
In the funding box on the lower right hand side today.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Okay, the Ulster Community College equipment and technology.
Those are SUNY college.
Yep.
I know we can speak to Titan.
Those are pretty specific backup. Roof replacement, those all came up last year.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They have the roofs that need to be replaced.
Right. The scope of the project expanded. from original, right?
Yep.
Well, the technology went down slightly, but the roof replacement.
Oh, sorry. Are we on technology? Which one are we on?
Well, we went from the technology to roof replacement, which went up. Did somebody have a question?
On, I think.
Yeah, I was asking for the roof replacement. Where are we at with that $5.7 million for this year?
I don't know.
Those are facilitated by Jamie.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, so that went up almost $4 million. I know we found problems when they went in. We thought we were going to do one portion of the roof and then the whole thing ended up, right? Wasn't that it?
And they had to put some rails in certain areas on.
And they had to put some safety rails.
Because that's legislative programs.
Kingston.
Yeah.
At the Kingston Center.
Oh, at the Kingston Center. I'm thinking that's the SUNY Ulster campus.
I know at Kingston Center, they had to put the safety rails on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, so things that for the community college, is it just this match with the state that everything you do, they'll match the same amount?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
As far as the...
All the community college ones.
We are just a bonding authority for the college. So what happens is they do the work, we bond for them, and then they get reimbursed through their people.
Yeah, but we pay for half, too.
Yeah, so the county is responsible.
We pay. We're responsible for half, so we're bonding, but we're also
paying half.
We're paying half, and we also do all of their bids.
The total funded and the county share is always exactly the same.
Yeah, we pay 50%.
Okay, the next one: site work improvements.
That was a lot of DASNY, wasn't it?
Yeah, and also
went up. Million or so from what we originally from last year. Well, not a million, maybe 500,000.
They're doing a bunch of upgrades.
Yeah.
Working with DASNY to come in.
Oh, that's right. Right. So it did come in higher. You're right. And then we have infrastructure improvements. And the $8.5 million this year is targeting what specifically?
I believe that...
Is this the water line?
The water tank, the water line are both this year.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the renovations in Burroughs Hall, like I think the windoors...
Yeah, we had those due to the exit safely thing.
Yeah. Right.
No, active shooter.
I believe those were under.
They were in the previous one?
I think so. It was in the previous one. I read the windows. I don't think it was the previous one.
Okay.
And then the master plan. Mm-hmm. Which, that went up as well. Is that because of the DASNY?
I don't even know where you're at with the master
page
plan.
Page 39.
Oh, that's what I've been looking at. Yeah, I can't really speak to it. I'm not sure exactly.
Maybe we should get Jamie.
She would be like, next month. If people have questions about it. But, I mean, this stuff is really...
We've already
all approved.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
So
yeah,
as the administration,
did they put an RFP out for that yet?
Which one?
I don't think they did. The master
we've
plan.
Really already approved a lot of this.
We did
last year. Yeah.
RFP for all of their architect and engineering work, and a master plan was part of that.
Was it?
So they awarded to 3 or 4 architects, and they would just go out. It wouldn't be like a full open solicitation.
So why did that go up 100,000?
Where are we looking?
This is the backup that she gave me for infrastructure a while ago. It's probably outdated. This is the project.
I'm going to assume it went up 100,000 because it's supposed to be completed this month. So we must have voted to... fund the...
No, last year we... Well, I don't...
The capital program,
I don't think we voted this month on this, because last year it was 175.
No, the start date was January of 19, with the completion date of March of 2020. So, maybe if we look up capital project 491, we might find that it was funded for like 185,000, and the RFP came in for $285.
Maybe.
I'm also going to say that this infrastructure improvement includes the public safety training center, so that's probably where your increase went up.
Right.
Oh, for design?
No,
so for building. So the $8.5 million.
Oh, you're still on the previous one. I'm sorry. You guys, we had moved
on. Oh, you've moved on.
We're off of that.
We're on to the master plan.
Page 39.
Yes.
So is that going to get removed from here? I'm sorry. Is the fire safety going to get taken out?
We've moved on from that.
Well, now I'm asking. You told me. you made
you
the mistake.
You brought that upon yourself.
Okay.
Sorry.
Is it going to get what?
Is it going to get removed from here? Because then it won't be here, right? If it's fire safety.
So what happens, the college, when they reimburse the county for work, it's a unique situation. Jamie calls it double booking, but that's kind of what it is. You have to put it in a plan that way so that she can get reimbursed from the state, because she has to show it on her capital project in order to get the money.
Oh, so
the
it was work
component.
It was the work that they did, but even though it didn't, it wasn't realized on the property.
Right.
But there was money and work spent on
in
it.
Order
got
to,
it.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
No, I think they're still doing the training component at the college.
Yeah.
The classroom.
Oh,
classroom.
At the college. There's
so that'll probably remain there until we do something on the other site.
Fine.
With this module or whatever it is, so they can do their classroom training
in
down
classroom
there.
Because
right now their classroom training is being done at the college.
Right.
At the
Jack Rose, the conference room.
Yeah. Okay.
That was.
All right.
Renovated.
Now rapid
Sorry,
response.
I built you out the
one. Which is a new. We just approved, or we're getting ready to approve. In our,
a lot of funding with this.
Our bucket this month.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Live scan, that's a new one.
Approved last month,
yeah.
I think.
No,
right?
Live scan is
same with the next one.
Yeah,
that's for fingerprints. Radio system.
Was it the next one or the one after?
We did the live scan, and we clearly are working on the countywide
system,
system,
right?
For the past 50 years,
and those are pretty detailed.
We're doing good, though.
We're finally getting it.
Yeah.
Enterprise software upgrade.
Yeah, I don't. The 100,000. I mean,
I
this project almost.
That's almost
it's
finished.
It's basically done.
Yeah.
I mean, they went live last year.
So what's left?
I think they left it on the books just so they can close it out and show that they're still working on it. I don't think there's anything else they're requesting.
Okay.
They just need to finish billing for everything.
Oh, I see, before they can close it out.
Yeah. I know a lot of times, like, maintenance whatever for the software is included for the first year, and so if they went live last year, I
got it.
Mm-hmm. To do
okay.
It.
Okay.
UCAT, equipment and facility. Now this one doubled, or almost doubled, from last year.
It's all funded?
Yep, I know.
100% state funded?
Yeah.
Yes.
So if this is, I'm sorry, I haven't been at UCAT in a few years, but if this is the Public Modernization Improvement Transit Program, that letter gets sent out annually. It's not in a formula.
It's equipment and facility. It's an upgrade to UCAT training room.
Yep, so that's what it came out of.
100% state.
Oh,
so
100%,
they don't get that letter
yep.
annually, so they can't really show it going forward. So it's
you have
not
to wait for the letter.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Mandatory replacement.
Similar to our fleet.
Yep.
With the UCAT fleet.
Any questions? Bus storage garage.
Placeholder.
And that's a new item?
This is a new project. We are needing to expand the storage for larger fleet. I mean, we brought over Kingston City Bus. We have more buses. We're expanding the garage.
But the director also said that some of this is a placeholder because once they determine the true range of the electrical vehicles, they may be storing them somewhere else to charge them.
Well, our chargers are going
Oh, really?
There,
so this,
I mean,
so it may not be...
Chargers are going there.
Chargers
so.
Are going
Yeah.
When was that said?
The other night at the DPW meeting.
Okay.
Hmm.
So where do
where does Kingston keep their buses now? In Midtown there, by Firehouse?
At the, they have a DPW garage. It has,
yeah. Are they outside?
And we're leasing that. No, I believe they're in the garage.
No,
and
it's a really tight fit.
Do we have our buses inside now?
We have both. So there's, we have about 30 buses over at UCAT, and there's 6 or 7 bays, but they don't all fit.
And the new buses that we're looking to get, they will be housed outside? Inside?
I mean, I think the goal is to house them inside.
But currently we don't really have a
room.
Okay. See, that's something. We're going to invest all this money in a new fleet and let them sit out in the weather. We have the same issue with the equipment that we purchased for the Sheriff's Department, too. That also just sits out in the weather. That's really not good for your investment.
Well, impacts
right,
long
right
term.
Where they are now? Is that what the
I believe in the back behind it. Isn't that where
Dennis was looking at it, but I believe it was up by where mm-hmm. mental health is. That flat lot.
That's what I was thinking.
Is that where they're looking at?
That's
next to emergency man.
I understand it's the lower one. The big one.
Jonathan?
It's on a slope.
Okay. In terms of the additional buses, will we able to, or are we repurposing any of the City of Kingston buses?
We are using the City of Kingston buses for the city routes. And then the idea is once we get the electric buses, then they'll become...
So those repurposed buses are part of this plan?
Yeah, I mean, we don't plan on leasing the DPW space from the City of Kingston forever.
Okay.
It was part of the agreement that we would short term be able to use that space.
Just to check in on the, I just want to step back. We did the body cams last year or the year before, so is that closed out? Because that's no longer on the capital plan.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, okay.
And so wasn't there I believe there was funding that was found quicker,
found
or
grant or something?
Yeah,
yeah.
Something
okay
like that.
I just wanted to make sure because it's no longer here. Now we're at the salt pre-activation system.
So we are pre-activating our salt.
That's new.
Fluid. This is new. This is when Brendan Masterson took over as field operations manager. It's a more kind of a novel idea as far as getting the salt.
If it's just merely wetted, the dry salt is wetted as it's spread out. There's less scatter, and it's immediately activated. It doesn't have to wait for cars to ride over it to create the energy necessary to activate the salt. So you end up using about 30% less.
Wow.
And that's what other communities who have gone to this
state
have experienced.
For you.
Less from, you know, getting it out into...
You're not scattering it off the road. You're leaving it where you spread it. It stays put, and it's immediately active. It doesn't need that friction activation.
And if you pin the gates, you'll even save more money.
Yeah. We do regulate the gates.
So do you need a different type of equipment for it? Or
yes. Do you need a storage tank for the brine?
Yeah. We're talking to purchasing
the
brine.
Oh,
brine to an
RFP
for it.
Right.
So we're using brine?
It'll be a salt brine.
Got it.
Right.
It'll be a salt brine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm just double checking.
Be for
Manna.
Yeah.
No calcium chloride.
They also make a system where there's poly tanks that fit on either side of the of the salt spreaders.
It
just, you know, shoots water down as it's coming down to the spinner.
And that's what we have.
Right.
Our newer trucks have those side saddle. Tanks, but we still need a place.
Now, do you run water in those or brine? Probably only need water.
I think we need brine. Otherwise, we might be experiencing the freezing of that water.
Yeah, we used to add magic to it to keep
magic.
It.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, but
with the name of the product.
Any other questions on this new one? Okay.
Saving the environment.
And money.
Equipment replacement, roads and bridges.
That's every year. That's heavy machinery equipment.
I'm sorry?
That's the equivalent to the central auto fleet for the highway fleet.
Right.
So if we...
It's heavy equipment replacement similar to the central auto replacement policy.
Right. And when we come to establish it, you'll get a full list of everything we plan on buying that money.
So this isn't new, is it?
No. It's an annual.
Do it every year.
It's a book. It's another bookmark where we establish the real capital number every year.
So how do you come up with the numbers that are in here?
Mm-hmm. Kim Million shops around for us.
But I mean, they go from, you know, this year is a 2.5, and then in 23 it goes down to 1.3. Is it because you expect less?
She manages our inventory.
Yeah. Well, we do have a vehicle inventory. You can kind of forecast what you're going to need to replace.
We don't have to spend $495,000 each year for a new paver, just once every 15 years.
Right.
That's an example.
So you know, in the future we can hopefully get a bigger, better understanding of the fleet size, what you're anticipating, how many vehicles over the next couple of years, or is that?
Yeah, I'm thinking, Lynn, that might come in the form of a fleet inventory.
Okay.
To kind of show within that vehicle inventory which are the vehicles with the higher miles and most likely to need replacement.
Okay.
Okay. As a plan going forward, that might be the most useful thing.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. River Road Drainage.
Where did Laura go?
So this has a capital project now. We established it after this was in the budget process. So it was, I believe, mid-November when we established this last year.
I thought we sounded familiar. All right. And again, so this goes to the point Tracy made. If we had the resolution number, it would be, you know, and maybe that means, you know, expanding the column or the table on here.
Right.
So we could maybe do that. That would be great. Salem Street stabilization. Now, did I see it in two places?
There's two locations on the same road.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought I saw two, and one was new, right?
Yes.
So one was existing and one was new.
Right.
Any questions on this one?
Maybe that result of Callahan going through there.
Been for years.
Not there. We think that we had a very wet season. I think it started in the fall of 17 and went through 18, and it did raise some problems with a number of slopes.
Mm-hmm.
We've had quite a number of slope stabilization projects over the last couple of years as a result, and including an emergency one on Tongore Road in the town of Marbletown.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these things do happen suddenly because of severe
weather conditions.
Yeah.
And this one's an excellent example. If you put that out to contract to fix it, it'd probably be close to $1 million.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This will?
Well, the cost that you're seeing there, the $100,000, is only for materials. To purchase materials so that in-house forces can
do
complete
it.
This project,
mm-hmm.
saving 80% of the cost, 70% of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to do it house. That's a blessing.
Okay.
And we can't do that for everything, but this one
right.
we're going to do it
for. No, I'm still waiting for the numbers on Liberta Bridge.
I
want to prove it. You did?
Yeah.
To what email address?
Maybe the wrong one?
We can talk about that later.
Okay.
It was significant.
The next one is Dock Street reconstruction. Just question for you. Did the Bushkill Stream inspection, did that get completed in last year? It was in the book for $200,000.
The contract is executed and it's not managed by the county, so it's not in the program
Isn't
anymore.
That with soil and water?
It's in the town of Olive, and we contributed $200,000.
So we are ready,
so we... Yes.
Okay.
That might be one of those joint ones we do with soil and water.
Okay.
Could be. We
the studies. Yeah,
we're not sponsoring the project.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The town is.
But, yeah, because it was in the capital plan last year.
Right.
We've already given them the money. All right, Creekside slope stabilization. Is that And it says new, but then in the
prior year. I don't think anybody had any questions on
Dock Street.
They haven't done anything on Dock Street in years.
So it's the same thing again. It's two different places for a creekside slope stabilization.
Okay.
And a creekside drive slope failure.
Okay. So one was an old one and one was a new one.
One is completed.
The slope failure?
Yes.
Okay.
No, the slope failure is the new one.
The new one. Okay, I'm sorry.
Not the, what I have. Well, that's what's confusing. There's Creekside Drive slope failure.
One of them is completed. I'm not sure the name.
I'm sorry. I don't remember which one is which. Well, one of them is completed.
Because that one's looking to spend $900,000 this year. And the Creekside slope stabilization is, well, that's an old one. That had 15,000 from a prior year.
And I think that's the one that's included.
Okay, so this is the new one.
This
then.
Is the new one.
Got it.
Okay, here we
go. Creekside Drive, so
52.
Moving right
Any
along.
Questions on this new capital plan? Nope. Okay. Highway safety program.
I have some questions.
Trace. I'm sorry?
It's Eve.
Sorry. You sounded okay. Like Tracy for a second.
I did. So I see. So your design analysis has no cost. Although you do say that typically if there's something in the prior year, that amount is a design and analysis. And I guess the reason why I'm asking is, have you done an analysis to identify sort of the most appropriate geographical changes that you could make to reduce crashes? So I have many questions on this. Like, where are these high crash locations? But also, like, there are lots of ways to reduce crashes in high crash locations. And was an analysis done that determined that showing these signs was the best way, or are there?
We've done an analysis in-house through the planning department for these locations. Most of these locations were put at school zones. I think all of these have been placed at school zones, and especially where you have some areas that go from like a 50 to a 30. It's a jump. And so...
I guess I'm referring to the design, not so much where's the location, but what is the best way to reduce speeding, because I know that there's a lot of things, like people talk about putting landscaping very close to the edge so it feels like the road is narrower, or doing other things, and so was there a design analysis plan that sort of said, what is the best way to really ensure that people will slow down in these locations?
Herb looks like he's just has a lot to say. So.
The Ulster County Transportation Council, which our planning board and the Thruway and the DOT all sit with members of the supervisors from towns throughout the county, and they actually put the TIP together, your Transportation Improvement Program. They do analyses on pill locations, which are high accident locations or personal injury locations, and then recommendations are made through the council to do various studies. And some of them are on state highways, some of them are on the thruway. So it's not only just right. County roads, and Ulster County has a seat there also. Mr. Pine usually shows up from the engineering department of the DPW. But the reason there's no design there, because the analysis is done through the Ulster County Transportation Council. And then depending on the road, the location, if there's a capital improvement project already on the books
in that budget,
that, you know, this will encompass, so it becomes part of that project. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to do a road improvement. like, for instance, 299 widening of the shoulders for the bike path. But there's also other work they're doing there that comes from what the study from the Ulster County Transportation Council said, hey, take a look at this location when you're doing that project, because there's an issue here. We've had 3 accidents within a tenth of a mile here. So there's really no design no design cost or analysis, because that's done routinely as part of the design for a project or through the council.
And when I say the planning department, the planning department staffs the transportation council. So yeah. David Stock, Brian Slack,
right.
They're the ones that will go out and they'll do the study. Somebody will request to us, it could be outside of this too, hey, you know, the light on 9, or there's a intersection on 9W that we believe needs light. They'll go out and they'll do a study, they'll count cars, they'll look at right. historical crash data, and determine mm-hmm. whether one of these signs would be more effective, whether an actual light is effective, and that's all kind of their role.
And it can be the reverse. They just did a study in the city of Kingston, and they looked at, like, I think 4 or 5 intersections that's controlled with a traffic light, but they're high accident locations. So what the study revealed is that if we change those intersections to 4-way stops, will probably reduce the accident occurrences by 75%. So now there's a project that'll take place this summer to eliminate those traffic signals and put in 4-way stops for those locations. And then obviously, the follow-up to that, for probably the next 3 or 4 years, the council will also keep track of those intersections, you know, what their accident history is, to say, okay, we anticipated that to improve the situation. Did it improve the situation? And they've done the same thing. I know the DOT did the same thing here with the roundabout. They look at the accident history, you know, with all the different signals and their movements, and they determine that, well, if we put in a roundabout, we can reduce the severity of the accidents. And there's a little fallacy there also. For the first 3 years, you actually probably increase the accident history because the people aren't used to it.
That answers. Yep. I mean, I guess the only thing I'd say is going forward, it would be helpful to have a sense of where these high accident areas are.
And I spoke about these electric feedback signs, and that's a small... I mean, when I said that they were put at school zones, what I meant was these... what the picture is, which is this electronic right. feedback sign, that's a small portion of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Any warning signs.
If I could add, what's happening right now this year is we're doing an analysis of all the signage on all the county roads. Brendan Masterson estimated for me in the range of 11,000 signs. So we're having all of the roads driven once in the daytime with a camera that picks up all the locations geographically and maps them and creates a database. And then they're also driven at night to test for the retro reflectivity mm-hmm. to make sure that we're complying with state guidelines mm-hmm. on the reflectivity of the signs. So this will be an upgrading of all of the county signs. There might be places where signs are missing that we're not aware of them, or where they're not in the correct location by the MUTDC manual. Did mm-hmm. I say that right?
MUTCD.
Yeah,
MUTCD. Yeah, right.
So that's all data driven.
Is it included in that? Like, our
it's in the description.
Is every school in the county expected to have, is there an established speed limit that every school should have a sign in front of?
So we only had authority to put these on school districts that were on county roads.
Yep.
The state doesn't allow them without prior approval on state roads. We only have one location on a state road, and that's on Route 28 for the Onteora
right.
School District.
So I'm not going to take all the time on this, but this is a particular issue we have in New Paltz, just to put it on the background, but because there is no reduced speed in front of the middle school that's on Main Street, and it's a high accident area, but it's state, and they are having trouble getting DOT to do anything.
Right.
So I just
nothing.
Yep.
Jonathan,
we're,
then
we're aware of that.
Just
then
a
Herbie.
Question. Just, and so, for example, so you, I'm assuming, like you said, you are developing a list and probably already have a list of identified areas. But for example, like we experienced with you guys very diligently worked with me to get a sign mm-hmm. put up to address
right.
a hazardous turn on a county
yeah.
road. So does that... Would that come out of this pot of money?
No, that was out of operating funds.
So you do
have
both
right.
kind of like rolling.
We'll, absolutely. Well, if there's a need for a sign,
yeah. I just
we're
going to
go.
So
we have a sign shop.
If this money also went to like sporadic,
that would be awesome.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right.
No, just a point of interest. Last year there was a seminar put on by the Department of Transportation and the college, I believe. Speed limits throughout the state, whether it's a town road, county road, state road, are all come under the auspices of the state of New York. So even a town or the county just can't go out and say, all right, we're going to make this a 40-mile-an-hour zone. They have to put an application into the state has to go out and do a study, and then they also have to meet the requirements of the MUTCD, the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices.
Thank you.
And that dictates whether they can, can't, will, or will not change the.
Right.
We have hacks. We have hacks for that.
No,
by the
all
way.
Roads.
Villages can make their own speed limits.
But not with DOT giving you. Permission.
Village did. They did just changed.
I'll tell you, if you
folks
would do it, if they could, but they can't, and they've and it's a high hit zone. I mean, we had 3 or 4 accidents just this year, and they cannot get DOT to do anything.
Okay, if we could move on so we can get everybody out of here in the next half hour, I'm shooting for.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's my problem.
Asphalt overlay of various roads.
So this is a triennial capital.
Send it to that email address.
And it helps us keep pace with asphalt.
And you know, can you can we hope for, you know, in the new process we're setting up, that, you know, for the next year at least we get the list of roads you're targeting, because you already know where you're going.
The following year, like
for the first year, like.
This is work that'll be done in 2021.
I understand that. So when we sit down at the later part of this year to go over the plan, could you give us the roads that you're targeting for 2021?
Unfortunately, I don't think we can, because a lot of it depends on the winter.
Yeah. And the conditions of the road.
So you do an assessment at some point in the year?
At some point, right.
And when do you do the assessment?
Right after the winter.
Right after the winter.
Every year.
So you should be doing it this spring. You'll have a sense of what you're going to be doing next year.
2020, we would do after
in 2021.
No. In 2021, which is when this work's going to be done, after the winter of 2021, so next winter, we'll evaluate which roads need it.
Okay.
We are just now in the process of putting together a program of
for this
pavement
year.
For 2020. We're just now...
But we have no money marked in
for this. Not for asphalt overlay.
We have other capitals.
Okay.
So funding that off.
Got it. Okay.
So do we know a number yet for asphalt overlay for 2020?
There is none in this capital.
There isn't asphalt overlay number. It's every 3 years.
Okay. You approved various roads already.
For 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we're all waiting on the CHIPS and paved New York allocation mm-hmm. still.
And the weather.
And the weather.
Although it's been quite nice.
It's been
okay. This is a new one. We've already had a conversation about this last month, the Bridge Flag program. And again, we're looking for more information, how you're assessing it, and just kind of, you know, giving us insight into.
So, just as an update on that, we've had a lot of in-house discussion on it. Our engineering division kind of runs the show on this. We've asked them to provide us with spreadsheets on the bridges, and to start collecting the data on flags.
Mm-hmm.
There is a state website that they can go to look at the historic flags. So we want to start developing some data.
We'll be a little more proactive.
Yeah, we'd like to be proactive.
Instead of waiting for the New York State inspectors to come in and say you've got a problem here.
Yeah. I have been, since I've been there, preaching preventive maintenance of bridges, because our bridge crew is largely focused on replacement of bridges. And I think we lose sight of the cost benefit of doing some minor repairs that will extend the life of the bridge. So we're in the process of, you know, we're evolving. But
good.
I think for this, we should have an intended schedule.
So, with what you said, do you have your own personal or internal county review schedule for each of these? So, I mean, ideally, we would know when something's a pre-yellow flag, like instead of waiting for the state.
Well, when the state does inspections, and they inspect every bridge every 2 years.
Federal law requires every bridge, no matter who owns it, be inspected by the state every other year.
Every other year.
Every 2 years.
And in those
inspection
reports.
No, I get that. I'm wondering if we do any of our own interim reviews just to assess the. Does someone regularly go to the bridges, or do you just wait for the state to tell you?
What I was going to add was they don't just give red and yellow flags, they also give recommended. Repairs.
Right. You get the full bridge report.
Yes.
So every other year they get a full bridge report, and each element of the bridge, the deck, the stringers, the abutments, all of that is rated on a 1 to 7. So and they plot histograms. So the bridge is new; it's a 7, and then over the years, obviously, it deteriorates. But you can track those histograms every other year, and you can see the bridge deck went from a 5 to a 4 to a 3. So you know you got to do some work on the bridge deck. So to send out a county crew to go doing the same thing that the state's doing, and the state generates it's like a 7 or 12 page report on every structure. So, I mean, they should be looking at the data and looking at the histograms and seeing what the trend is on an element of a bridge.
And then you do that?
And that's when...
That's what our engineering...
And they already
does.
Do that, and then when they see, you know, all right, this bridge has been bad. It was good, and it got a little bad, then it's getting bad. All right, so in the year 2022, we better look at replacing this bridge.
Ideally, you would never get a red or even maybe a yellow if you actually...
Gets them. But
yeah,
so
that's
so
not
the
true.
Idea
you
this,
you might have something for it.
So the idea of this capital is to be proactive.
Right.
Okay, not just to put all of our eggs in the replacement basket, but to put some money into preventive maintenance based on those state report times.
But I'll tell you that... typically, Ulster County has the best record in Region 8. They only get, average, 7 yellow flags or 2 red flags out of, how many bridges do you have? 152?
158.
So out of 158 bridges, they're only getting 9 flags. And some of these flags are most likely a couple flags on one bridge. So, I mean, I commend them. I think they're doing an excellent job. They're doing a better job than the other 6 counties in Virginia.
By far.
Yeah.
By far.
So, I mean, it sounds like, 7 yellow flags, 2 red flags, but I'm going to tell you, that's aces.
Well,
and
we have an
and you can get a red flag.
Too, so.
I mean, you could have an overweight dump truck go over a perfectly good bridge that had a stringer rating of 5 or 6, and then it's broken. So it goes from 5 to 1.
And then it's a red flag.
And then it gets a red flag. So.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you. Samsonville Road Culvert. Oh, I'm sorry. Shawanga Kill Bridge Rehab. Shangum. Edward Geary would be correcting.
Shangum.
Shangum.
This is Bridge New York.
That's the Bridge New York program bridge.
Oh, okay, that's
we were awarded a grant for that.
Right, so that's all federal and state money.
Okay, so, yeah, so this that explains the Bridge New York program that went off. Now, that was listed here at for last year for $6.4 million, and now we're at $4.7. Was there something else done, or you just renamed it? And...
It was what last year?
Last year it was called Bridge New York Program.
Mm-hmm. Well, we weren't awarded this grant until sometime during the course of last year.
Okay, so you may have projected a $6.4 million, and then you came in. I'm just trying to understand, again, putting old projects to what is being...
I think this is post-grant. I think post-grant. The prior one is pre-grant.
Okay, so you anticipated getting more?
Our engineering staff applied for several projects, mm-hmm. and they got two. They got two awarded, and so these
numbers... What are the two that was awarded for the Bridge New York program?
The other one? And Samsonville Road Culvert Replacement.
Okay, which are two new ones. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, so these, we erred on the side of caution with the previous one with budgetary numbers. These are more real figures for you.
Okay, so. So it's still less than what you had plugged in for the Bridge New York mm-hmm. overall last year. Okay.
Did you get any Marticelli funding for these?
I don't know yet.
Because that would have reduced it if you got additional state funding through the Marticelli program.
All right. Any other questions on these? Okay. Cape Avenue Bridge.
That's the one in Ellenville, correct? I believe that came off the tip.
Yeah, I know it came off the tip.
Because you're going to do it in-house, right?
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. So it will be less than this?
It's going to be absorbed into the bridge program.
Okay.
So this capital will go away next year.
All right. DPW bridge program. So it came out of there. Is that what you were saying?
It did not come out of here.
Okay.
It will be put into this in the future.
Okay, so we did see a resolution for bridge materials on one of these this year.
And then we
had one last year too, right?
For the bridge program?
Yeah.
You got two already this year.
We had three total.
Yep. You had the Floyd Acker Bridge that you did in February, and then this month you did
two more.
Crawford and the Fox Hollow.
Okay. All right. Any questions on this? All right. Salem Road Stabilization, this is the other part of the road, okay. And this is new, or this was existing?
Yes. No, this is new.
New, okay. Any questions? It's pretty straightforward. Creekside Slope, this one's new as well?
Yes.
Yep.
I'm sorry?
There was some design expenditure last year.
Yeah, we paid that at operating.
Yeah.
It's never been on the capital.
But it had never been on the capital plan, right.
Right.
Okay. Maltby Hollow Bridge replacement. We just did that one last year.
I believe the construction's opening next week. So we may be coming with a resolution for you in April. For this one.
Okay.
But we have to see how the bid's open.
Is this the one that Andrew got a...
I believe
the CWC approved a $1 million grant. It's subject to DEP ratification.
Mm-hmm. I believe so,
but
yeah.
We believe we're going to get a significant revenue on this from CWC.
On this one?
Yeah.
Oh, CWC. But you're not showing it here because you haven't gotten it yet.
We just got it. He just got the...
We applied...
Okay.
Our engineering, Andrew Emmerich, applied this year, and we were denied at first, and then we went back again for a reduced amount.
For this one particularly.
Yeah, and they approved it at $1
million,
the CWC, but we're waiting for DEP to confirm that it meets the qualifications.
Okay.
All we believe it will.
Okay.
But that's a formality.
Okay.
So that'll be a significant contribution.
That'll reduce the overall.
And Andrew really worked very hard at that.
Well, thank him for it.
I will. I do.
Okay. Flood resiliency work, Bushkill Bridge.
You approved this one already this year.
Yeah, and this one I thought I thought it came off. No, there was another one.
Which one? we approved this already this year?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of a different one.
You're thinking, yeah. So, Trace?
I recall approving the $100,000, I want to say, last year, because this was an unusual one. It was one of the first times where we've had these intermunicipal
agreements. Right. It's a $200,000 contract, and I believe it's two $100,000 payments.
Was that the way it was shown to us last year?
Yes.
When we approved it, was shown us?
Yep. The contract's already approved. The capital's already approved. The goal now. So.
And so, again, can you just remind me, the town of Olive is using their New York Rising funding, and are they using that funding to repair our bridge?
They are using funding to make repairs that will assist in, I mean, it'll keep our bridge safer.
Yeah, they're doing repairs to the creek banks, to the creek bed. But some of the repairs, the rationale is some of those repairs will help to preserve the scouring effect of the water on our bridge abutments.
I recall speaking to Dennis about this. This was the first time we've had this kind of arrangement where we're paying the town. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can have this conversation later again. This seems like such an anomaly to me, and it's something that, you know, soil and water and does this kind of work all the time in terms of the scouring and the protecting the river stuff. So I'm just confused why we're paying a town $200,000. Because they got a grant.
It's covering their local match when it's our infrastructure that's being protected. It's partially their infrastructure, too.
But they got the grant not to protect our infrastructure. They got the grant to make the repairs because that, I'm assuming that stream remediation project has impacts to their infrastructure
as well.
Their town as well. And meanwhile, we're covering their whole local match. It strikes me as highly unusual. This is a policy question much more than the Department of Public.
But this is a county road they're doing the work on.
No.
It's a county bridge.
They're doing it on a stream.
They're doing work on a stream.
We're paying their county stream.
But it's protecting a county asset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
The work is to protect our bridge.
No, that's not how... They didn't get the grant to protect our bridge. They got the grant because they needed it to protect their assets. They didn't apply for a grant to protect our bridge.
If they didn't get the grant and they didn't protect this, we would have to do it our bridge.
We'd have to fix the scouring of the bridge.
Right.
We'd have to repair the bridge.
Right. Yeah, we have. There's other organizations that deal with the bridge too, and Washington Bridge.
Did this come out of the Shared Services Advisory Board?
No.
So how did it come before us?
Last year, I mean, this was something that's been on the books a long time. This was
what used to be called the Bushkill Stream Inspection.
Yes,
yeah.
We had
so it is in the book.
For Bobby Bruce.
Okay.
And it's good to see New York Rising money actually coming into the county.
Okay. All right. Any other questions on this? We have to find it. Make it known that we have to review this.
All right, bye.
The review of the policy for
Watson Hollow Bridge.
Yeah, I mean, I
Bushkill.
Bushkill,
formerly known as Bushkill.
Right.
I don't believe there's any approvals left on this, just
no.
So you're
aware. No, I understand.
I don't know that this administration would do a similar thing going forward.
Okay.
So
it was, okay.
That's why I just want to flag it, because
Perrin's Bridge.
Restoration. We did that one already.
No, 64th's next. Was I out of the room?
Oh, we did this an hour and a half ago.
We talked about it a little bit before.
Before.
I may have something different than what was said, because I know the county executive does not want to spend money on this bridge. So we may ask our friends up the road that are the only ones that use it to see if they would like to assist the county in repairing it. But, you know, repairing a bridge that does not get use is, we get that it's historical, but
so you don't forget any, money.
it's a significant amount of money for a walking bridge or something that a horse carriage can go over.
Yeah, and so last
you
year
you may want to go to SHPO because it's a National Historic Bridge.
SHPO may give you money for it.
SHPO should pay the whole bill.
Well, they should.
I mean, I know it's not a large audience, but covered bridges are somewhat of a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
People come to see them.
I'm not saying we should rip this bridge down.
You what? We should rip it down?
I said, well, I'm not saying we should rip the bridge down. I'm just saying I don't know that we should start, you know.
No, that's a lot of money. Yeah,
1.3.
Well, it went from 750 to 1.3.
Yeah. That's because we keep pushing it off, right?
Yeah.
But I would believe that there would, and I know it kind of hints to potential state funding, but I believe because of the historical nation with these type of bridges that in the future there may be other opportunities to...
I just don't anticipate us doing work in 2020 on it.
Yeah, I'm
pretty sure.
I would just encourage that we aggressively look into funding for it because, I mean, I agree with Brian that there is a certain level where it is a tourist attraction, but even beyond it being a tourist attraction, I think we're stewards of our own history, and for us to just say, well, it's too much money to spend, so we're just going to... Someone else wants to do it, fine, and if not, you can look at it.
Just saying we're not
going to
do anything
on
2020.
No, I'm not
trying
to, but I'm just saying, I think we have a responsibility to maintain.
Well, and can we not reach out to SHPO to see if something like this, they could help with something like this? I mean, that's really where...
Everyone.
We have 4 6-year-olds, and we have none. Love them.
I'll contact Dennis Doyle.
Just one, thank you.
I'll contact Dennis Doyle to see if he is aware of any possible funding sources for this. My only recommendation is that it's been a while since this has been looked at, that we have somebody look at it. We're not, our engineers and our bridge crew really doesn't work on this kind of bridge. It's a very specialized architecture.
Because
we don't want
stone.
It to continue
it's stacked stone, right?
Wood.
The wood. Well, I meant the abutment.
Right, they're stacked stone abutments.
Yeah.
But there is mortar in them.
Ed Kine doesn't feel the abutments are at risk at this point. But the wood structure over time weakens, the joints weaken, the arch weakens, the attachments, the joint attachments from the arch to the truss weaken. And there's a presumption that this bridge is used pedestrian only, but we know that the Bruderhof is using it. I'm not sure how they're using it.
It's got to be pedestrian because there's pylons on either side. You could take a bicycle maybe, but you can't take a vehicle through there.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah.
Well, I'm a little concerned that they might be taking product. They have a field on the north side of 32 that they might be with horse and buggy taking produce that they grow in their field across because they can't come down 32 with their buggies.
Sure they can.
I
live right around the corner.
Okay. They did renovations on this bridge.
95.
I want to say, yeah, I was going to say 20, 30 years ago.
95 they did. Right.
Didn't we just upgrade a parking lot at Perrin's Bridge?
No.
No, the state closed
State. Well, and the state did something. We didn't do that.
Okay.
They did like a launch, a boat launch or something.
I thought we did it. I don't trust my memory anymore.
I don't trust mine either.
Okay.
All right, so if we can, I'm really pushing a finish in 5 minutes here. We're getting there. Thank you for your time. Construction of various shoulders, $1.5 million starting this year.
The next two are just bookmark capital.
And are these new or they're just adding more?
They are the same thing they've been for a while. They're bookmark capitals where we come to you if we have shoulders we need to do or...
But you haven't spent any money to date, is that correct?
We can only spend what you approve.
There's no prior, so I'm just asking.
Because it would be I don't want to say a fictitious number, it would be a very misleading number.
Okay.
Because these have been there for a long time, so it would show millions of dollars.
Okay.
Where this year would...
Oh no, this year we're spending over $7 million.
On shoulders?
Route 299.
That's a whole different capital.
Yeah. No, I know that, but...
Can I just weigh in on shoulders for 1 second?
Yes.
I think this is obviously important work, and I appreciate the bookmark, but I also think that as we're looking at these things, we should be looking to expand them in the most generous manner that we can. Not, and, and I
not to say that we can't afford. Like, I think we need to be thinking, because we have increasingly in all of our communities, we see people utilizing the roads, and as people are driving more, and whether we like it or not, they're texting and driving. I know it's illegal.
They're biking, walking.
We really need to provide for kind of all access use to our roads. So I think as a policy, we in the legislature need to be speaking about this to find some way to direct. I mean, I know the next one we're going to talk about is a really specific project, and I'm very happy to see it. It's critically important that it happens on this road. But every community
has the same
that they can talk about where they just wish, and it might not be a county road in each community, but I think since we have the care and the responsibility of county roads, we need to start thinking about how we can make them friendly for bikers and walkers and
Herb.
No, I believe this is an ongoing program that they actually do, and that's the reason why they're putting the placeholders
right
in here.
But Herb,
for future work, because they did it in New Paltz on Ohioville Road,
yes.
And now they're doing it on Route 299. The year before Ohioville, they did it on Route 299 out to Butterville.
But what I'm saying is there's a very big difference between preservations of shoulders and expansion of shoulders to allow for multi-use. So
that's correct.
Really,
but the three projects I told you about were expansion for bicyclists.
Right, but I'm saying that even as we're holding for preservation of shoulders,
preservation of shoulders.
No, it states that it's for pedestrian, bicycle, and vehicular safety.
It's not just preservation.
It's for widening the shoulders to separate or give you some separation.
So let me ask you this.
If maybe this will be the widening of shoulders on 299 is a whole different Magilla, but when you have a shoulder project like you had Lucas and you came to the legislature for that, came out of this, correct?
But then became a project.
Was this reduced? No, it's just an ongoing.
$1.5 million
that just.
These are bookmarks. That's
got
really
it.
What they are.
All right.
So we come to you every year with that year's program and for various roads or various shoulders.
Well, so if you're projecting, and maybe this goes back to getting to, I understand you're not going to know 5 years out what you're doing, but if we put the discipline into having this meeting at our budget cycle time, when you come to the table, can you come to the table with those that you're looking at for the following year?
For various roads, no.
But when you identify one, you do,
which is why 299 is
right.
The next page.
That.
Yeah, when they do identify one, they do make a capital
this would be
project.
Out before the spring. This would be in like November. You're saying we can't do that.
You can't.
It depends on when the meeting.
Some of it
we may be able to. Where we have that information, we would have the information, and we can bring
like
it.
Like you're targeting, yeah.
Various roads you approved last month, and Brendan just made that list prior to us coming to you. So that would, on this side, I don't believe that's a possibility. On shoulders, when we identify the shoulders, we...
Maybe.
Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah,
Trace.
And I think that's the point, is that, so right now, and I understand that right now you have a placeholder of $250,000 a year. I mean, we look at what it costs on an individual road to do these real expansions. Butterville and the others you mentioned are very expensive projects.
Right.
But I think if, as a county government, we're prioritizing what this capital project actually says, then we need help and the guidance from you to say, okay, which roads are we prioritizing and how much are those actually going to cost? Because this is like wildly underestimated.
Well,
but again, if it's something that we're making a priority to make our county roads more safe for pedestrians and walk.
But it might not be underestimated, because if you're going to redo XYZ road, right, you're going to reconstruct it from here to here. Then you take the $250,000 placeholder and add to that project to make it more efficient, because you're already building this project. Let's widen the shoulders to make it bicycle friendly. So the placeholder is money that's there that can be appropriated when you do put a capital project out there to reconstruct a road or reconstruct a bridge, and this is funding that's in the budget that you can tap to put the shoulders wider.
Yes and no, because this, so when we approve a plan, we're approving this conceptually as a plan. So
right,
the number is just it's not the budget. That the budget number is going to happen when it's actualized in the form
right.
of a resolution and a capital project. $250,000 isn't going to cut it. But what I'm saying is this is a capital program that, as one legislator, I want to highly prioritize. But what that's going to mean is that it's that on an annual basis, instead of a placeholder, that you start to actualize these projects like you have. This year
yeah.
you don't need to, because this year we've got one, and it's an important one. And like Herb pointed out, we had another one previous, but I think, and I'm grateful that both of them happen to be relatively in my community, but as I say, it's like if we were to prioritize, look at county roads where it's doable, there are going to be some county roads where, you know, you come back to us and say, I know it's just not going to be possible. It's cost way too much, or there are right away implications, or there are other
no room.
Terrain issues.
No room.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Or it's 5 years down the road, which is what's happening with the 299 project, because design and then also right of way and easements, which takes time. And
but what I'm saying is, this is an example for me of where I'd like to start to see.
Right.
Like, yes, I'm approving this as part, but I'd like to start seeing
what's
more
the plan?
Of that long-term
what's the plan?
Planning.
Yeah.
Of where are we going with this? Because I agree with this. Some of these are super specific, but where it's a placeholder, I
sometimes, and maybe, and correct,
well,
are we reacting to conditions, or are we planning where we're going?
Depends on what capital you're looking at.
For the book holders. Or the, yeah.
For the shoulders, say.
So for the shoulders, the difficulty that we're running into is logistical. For example, you mentioned Lucas. We were able to do Lucas in-house, as an in-house, largely in-house project, other than moving the guide rails. But there was sufficient right-of-way width on Lucas.
But it took you did it in tranches, so it took you 3 or 4 years.
But,
yeah.
But there's sufficient right-of-way width that there was no wasn't necessary to appropriate land from adjoining owners,
uh-huh.
and all the drainage structures were far enough off pavement. The typical county road is called a user road. We don't have an established width beyond the use, or if we do have a width, it's a 3-rod road or a 2-rod road, rather.
County Route 2.
Yeah, I mean, and
yeah.
So you have the pavement, and then you have drainage structures and private property.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example of 299, where the expense of that is largely driven by the fact that all those drainage facilities have to be moved and reconstructed, and there were significant takings, appropriations of land from adjoining owners, which is a very complicated process.
Which is why it's such an expensive project.
Yeah, and that's right. Now that's typical of most county roads.
Yeah.
We don't have much in the way of what I would call low-hanging fruit.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where the next shoulder is going to be for this. I really can't say that we have a plan for that.
But like on Lucas, what was the dollar value for, say, the materials? Because you get in-house workforce, so
I don't
you had to buy the materials.
And would it be
a quarter of $1 million or less?
I think it was in that range.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe these placeholders are good for in-house projects, much like we just went through some bridges that the capital portion of it was just buying the materials.
Well, that's the intent. If that bookmark is for the in-house labor part, just like the reconstruction of various roads, that one's also in-house.
So the 250 might be appropriate here because
it might, and again, I don't think there's much in the world. I don't know what opportunity there is for us this year.
We really can't take like the 299 example and then put $8 million in each one of these slots for this capital.
No,
that's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting, and it's fine having a placeholder for in-house is fine, but if a capital program, a capital improvement program, is a forecast for where you're going. And if we identify as, and we, the legislature, have an input on this. We get to vote on this and we get to make amendments to it. We just
never do. We have a trail committee too, so we can be looking at where future trails should go.
But what I'm saying is, just speaking as one person, I think, if the low-hanging fruit's all gone, I think we should start to identify other county roads that we are willing to prioritize and put the expense behind to do what this bookmark says we're going to do. And that takes, like, that involves creating that list and identifying costs and putting them in as real proposed projects, because I think that is a worthwhile investment of county funding, because it's going to save lives and it's going to provide access, safety to people.
So Tracy, just so you're aware, we are evaluating Western Avenue in the town of Marlboro to go from the hamlet to the high school.
That's great.
We've got surveys done now, and we're looking at what is the county right of way there. And we're looking for opportunities for.
Well, and it's for. I mean, that's a great example. That is a great example.
I'd love to hear that. So that makes something much more tangible than just being a placeholder that we might or we might not use.
Right,
but we might not do that.
Well, and that's okay.
But there may be obstacles.
But having at least a conversation and understanding where you are looking and your methodology for you're connecting walkways from the main part of the community to school, so kids can walk along shoulders and have sufficient shoulders, right?
So, the survey is allowing us to look for opportunities,
right,
for whatever widening we can do, whether that be a sidewalk or a shoulder, and we're doing this in cooperation with the town.
Okay.
So right now it's just in that survey.
It's just in an assessing, right? Okay. Any other questions? Various roads, we had that conversation, and now we're talking widening of 299, which you just went through. Any other questions in those? Okay. Sundown Bridge. Oh, wait, sorry. Samsonville Road over Mombacus Creek, that one's already started. Slope analysis and stabilization. These are for multiple roads.
Yep. We're hoping to close this capital out soon. I believe it's just the Whitlake Road left.
This one
was established a long time ago.
A long time ago. I remember some of these coming up.
We don't plan to follow this model in the future where we have multiple locations under one capital number. It'll be one location per capital.
Which will be so much easier to track for expenses, too, right? Yes. Okay, great. Sundown Bridge?
I believe it's being constructed this year.
Yeah.
Eve, if you look at this one.
I'm sorry?
In the project details, you can see that the condition rating's 3.0.
Keep going. Tongoor Bridge.
Sundown Bridge.
All right. Western Avenue, we spoke about that briefly.
Well, they were paving.
That one got started, right?
We're paving it. So that's, while we're looking at paving it, that's when we would look to add the shoulders potentially.
What you're asking him to do is really
what we're doing. Zena Road over Sawkill Creek, bridge replacement.
It's in the design phase, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, looks like it.
Next year will be built.
Well, next year is...
Don't go back, Kirby.
Next year, building. What's the 100,000 we spent already?
It's probably part of design
that one.
Okay. So may just straddle both late last year, this year.
Is that the Marlboro?
Shovel ready.
This is a planning project. We've talked about this. There's New York State authorizing legislation that says that we can do some infrastructure work to assist. Right now it only allows for industrial. This is kind of a planning placeholder for shovel-ready projects. $1 million a year. I know they did some work in Saugerties on Glasgow Turnpike or somewhere where they did a water line.
Old Kings Highway.
Old Kings Highway.
For the National Guard to move there.
Yeah.
That's the only place that's moved in there.
Yeah. Right.
But that's for hopeful potential business.
And Dennis has mentioned that we would like to try to switch the state, the law that is the authorizing legislation to potentially add in affordable housing.
This is the option they're looking at as part of that study.
What's that?
This will be one of the things they're looking at as part of that overall housing study.
Yeah, something's coming out of that.
Yeah. Transportation planning, these are planning studies.
Right. Which is what we've been talking about all night, about requiring studies, needing studies. This is how they get funded.
Harry Thayer Park Project.
Can I ask that to we're moving past? So on that the one that's listed as shovel ready, can we get a backup of the New York State authorizing legislation this year?
Yeah, Dennis can send that. I would say after this summer, this Harry Thayer Park, you know, I don't know where this stands. We were given this land probably back when I was born. And this is where there was the encampments. And so there's been two murders or deaths in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. One was a drowning in the creek. One was this summer. We went in and tried to,
where
you know,
is this?
Get. So this is right off the traffic circle.
You know where the caboose used to be?
Yeah.
Okay. Right there. Yeah. Between there and 209.
But in the back. It goes all the way back to the creek.
It's actually very nice.
The family of Harry Thayer gave us this. Yeah. Sure. It's yes. Lovely.
For murder
it's not bad. I mean, no, you're right. It's not too bad. But
along the creek there is very nice when you get down there. Along the
you have to really open it up, and there's got to be visibility, which we did go in, and we got rid of some trees so that things weren't hidden back there.
And it isn't a flood zone.
It's a flood zone.
The tourism trolley is not still there?
No.
No. They moved that when they... When they did the roundabout,
they activated the
trolley.
Now there's the development from the town of Ulster going on right next door as well.
Right. They're going to put the
another roundabout.
Then maybe another quick check. Who knows?
Oh, God.
Another travel. Yes, we need three quick checks next to each other and maybe a Burger King.
No. It should be one on each corner.
Okay. Moving along. We're behind a little. Kingston Trail. This is already initiated.
This one's kind of being halted, though, because of, you know, this is where we've come to you for the taking, and the bank is in a lawsuit over that, I believe.
Oh.
And so we're we've
it's
stopped.
A bit on hold,
This was the Ulster Savings property.
Yeah.
This is where we made a move to
the train. No, not quite that far, but... Like
and where are we with that, Mark?
I mean, I think they're still in litigation. So.
With us?
Yeah.
Yes.
Open Space and Recreation Fund.
This is farmland preservation, other open space, public recreation. This is planning.
Are they going to look at updating the Open Space and Recreation Fund, the plan? The Open Space Plan, 2007.
Is this something that just goes on every year? You know, it's a,
well,
it's
gets
a
funded
plan.
Every year, but
that's
it never...
It gets on here every year.
Yeah, and then nothing really gets... Yes.
Yeah, because there's... So the $129,000 that was spent was provided to one fund, but there had been no application process, no... There was nothing. It was just provided to one farm. I'm not saying the farm wasn't worthy, but I think if we do move forward, this we need to have an understanding of like what the process and what the call for proposals would be, and you know what that matrix would look like, because there hasn't been any up until now.
All right, any questions on that stream management plan? And then the last one being the linear park.
definitely know enough about that.
Can I ask about the stream management plan?
Sure.
How does this intersect with soil and water and La Cornell? I mean, soil and water does, that's its name, that's its bailiwick, the stream management. So how is,
right.
How is what this, why are we doing this? And who are the agents and stakeholders that we're working with?
I don't know the answer. So, I mean, I can ask Dennis.
Came through legislative programs, didn't it, or something?
Yeah, we usually...
For the lower Esopus, the stream management plan?
It says funding is part of the consent order between the DEP and DEC, so I don't...
Yeah.
I'm not really aware of what...
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
So, listen, I know this was hard going through everything, but I really do appreciate the time. I know it was helpful to me, I think to all of us, and we have some real opportunity. I mean, you guys spent a lot of time doing this, and our goal is let's use it from a ways and means perspective, from a public work. So any updates that we can, we'll put it all together, come back to you, and any opportunity to kind of improve it. If there's something that can be done now, great. If it means this next cycle, but I don't want to lose it, because I think there's some real chance that it'll be helpful for all of us.
No, and I meant that, you know, we would appreciate if you have recommendations that you send them an email. I mean, my comment was only because I knew without many of those recommendations, we were going to get out of here around 9 o'clock. And so,
So I got a quick question. How do we recommend a project or something like for example, Hillside Acres, Spring Lake, pedestrian walking between there and into the city of Kingston, into the school, into the park. It's just that I know we go from the county to county road, but it's always from the county to the city of Kingston. But there's no sidewalk.
Reach out to me.
And a young woman was killed there.
Yeah. We can have a conversation. And so just reach out to me. Public Works is in my portfolio, and I'm happy to. Legislators reach out to me all the time about, as Jonathan was saying, we worked with him to get a sign. If you have a project or something that you need help with, reach out.
Okay. Just for closing, if you have any comments of improvements that you'd like to see, please send them to Natalie, and we'll consolidate everything and get it to these guys, and I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So
I'll
moved.
Make that motion.
And thanks again, you guys. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh,
so the tree redneck story? Oh, my gosh. Are you familiar with that? Okay. Are you familiar with tree redneck?